Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Lindsay.com. There's information there to support the show. I'm blogging still for KSBW. That's Ask the Expert, Going Green on the Central Coast. Check it out at KSBW.com. Remember, we change tomorrow by changing today, and we have to because it really does matter. Talk to your neighbor. And stay tuned now for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Hartley Carnes. The government's plan to put $250 billion tax dollars into shares of major banks is expected to steady up the markets and get real dollars moving again. Today, the Dow lost nearly 77 points. And Art Cashin at UBS Financial says investors are going slowly.
People, having watched what we've seen over the past 15 to 20 days, don't have the great courage to step out and risk a lot by buying into stocks until they see the air clear a little bit.
CBS's Anthony Mason.
My understanding is the Treasury is going to start investing in the banks within days. How fast that filters into the credit markets is not clear, but we're going to be watching the sort of key interbank lending rate, what's called LIBOR, to see whether that starts to come down. That will be a sign that money is beginning to move again between banks and that the credit markets are starting to unfreeze.
CBS's Cammy McCormick has some good news on oil and gasoline.
Gas prices continue to fall, down more than 33 cents in just the past week, now averaging about $3.15 a gallon nationwide. The Energy Department says that's the biggest drop ever recorded by the government. Some regions of the country are already paying less than $3 a gallon, and that could spread nationwide by the end of this month.
Oil today, $78.63 a barrel. The latest CBS News New York Times poll on the presidential race.
2 weeks ago, a 9-point lead for Obama. Then last week, only a 3-point lead. Now that's widened again to 14 points.
53% for Obama, 39% for McCain.
Kathleen Frankovic, director of surveys here at CBS News, with the New York Times, finding almost 9 out of 10 Americans think our country is on the wrong track, and that's helping Obama. The poll has a margin of error of up to 3 points. Dan Revive, CBS News.
It's an indictment now in the case of missing 3-year-old Kaylee Anthony. The charges against Kaylee's mother, Casey, are murder, aggravated child abuse, manslaughter, and perjury.
Everyone shouldn't jump to conclusions and automatically conclude that a person's guilty until proven innocent.
Jose Baez is her lawyer. The woman, long at the point of the investigation, is being held without bail in Orlando, Florida. Fire like a blowtorch near Los Angeles. Nearly 30 square miles of Southern California are up in smoke. 2 people have died so far. Strong Santa Ana winds can push flames fast as a horse can run, and people there know it.
When we saw the flames in our backyard, they were as high as our 2-story house. We just grabbed the kids and grabbed the pets and ran into the car and took off.
She's in the San Fernando Valley. Woodstock, Maine is where the last hand-cranked telephones were used, a quaint place in history. Now there is a 14-foot-tall statue of an antique wind-up phone. The crank turns, too. The sculptor plans to install a bell that will ring when the handle turns. On Wall Street, the Dow again down nearly 77 points. NASDAQ was off 65 today. This is CBS News.
$10? Maybe 2 cups of gourmet coffee.
Oh, about 3 gallons of gas?
These days, $10 doesn't go very far. Except, that is, at Sam's Club. This weekend, for just $10, you can get a Sam's Club membership that's good through December 31st, 2008. Enjoy members-only pricing on the things you need every day. Milk, produce, laundry detergent, diapers, pet care, and more. 10 weeks of savings for just $10. Just when you need it most.
Heard they got great prices on gas, too.
10 weeks, $10. Starting this Friday, only at Sam's Club.
Have you heard? Walgreens has generics for less than $1 a week. That's less than $1 a week for a 90-day supply on over 400 generic medications when you sign up for Walgreens Prescription Savings Club. Plus, save on 5,000 other brand name and generic medications. See how much you could save and get $50 in coupons free just for asking about the club.
Program is not insurance. Membership fee required. Membership may be canceled within 30 days of issue date. See store for complete terms and conditions.
Alaska's senior senator may testify in his own trial this week for allegedly failing to report gifts and renovations on his mountain cabin worth $250,000.
Attorneys for Ted Stevens have signaled for the first time that the Alaska senator could take the stand tomorrow. If he does, it would be the most dramatic moment so far in this trial. Stevens presumably would tell the jurors that his wife handled the home renovation project and paid all the bills they were sent. But Stevens would face intense cross-examination from prosecutors and would be confronted with his own voice on audio tapes saying he knew he could end up in jail.
CBS's Stephanie Lambidakis in Washington. The last time Milwaukee's zoo polar bear Zero fell into the moat, he stayed there for 9 days. This time Zero was playing around with the toy when he slipped and down into the moat he went, where he is still playing and only separated from the crowd now by a wall too high to climb. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents A Word from Your Wallet.
Dow, are we at the gas station now?
Yeah, I know. I'm feeling these gas prices, too.
I'm the wallet down here. Head to a Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership.
Why?
Proper vehicle maintenance. A new air filter can save 41 cents a gallon. Correct tire inflation up to 12 cents a gallon.
Wow, that sure adds up.
Fat wallets are very in right now.
Ask for the Works Fuel Saver package at your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer and get fuel-saving details at genuineservice.com.
Bob Kittle here to let you know you shouldn't ignore your tires because
they need their grip so you won't slip.
Slippy slip.
That's why Mineral Tires are made to last.
Without costing a fortune.
So when it's time to buy, give Uniroyal a try.
For dependable, affordable tires and helpful ebooks containing money-saving tips, visit Uniroyal.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Yeah, we get knocked down, we get set back, we get up again, dust off our microphone, and just start talking. Welcome. On our program today, I just looked at the schedule. We call it a rundown in radio terms. We have guests who are predominantly female, great writers, and talented activists. And you can blame my ace producer, Katrina Rill. She lines up the fine guests on our program. Novelist, poet, activist Margaret Atwood will join us in just a moment. She's got a new book just out about debt. Very timely. Then an activist named Kathy Spiller will join us in the next half hour. She is an activist on women's rights, reproductive rights. And we're going to talk about that insidious ballot prop, number 4, the Californians will vote on November 4th, 3 weeks from today. And that requires parental notification for a teenager to receive an abortion in California. And there are many reasons why this is bad policy. We'll air that out coming up later this hour with Kathy Spiller. Naomi Wolf, whose new book is called Give Me Liberty, will return to our program next hour. When we talked to her 2 weeks ago, she was raising concerns about the possibility of martial law being declared in this country. Some people think you got to be a lunatic or some kind of paranoid to think that way. But the Army Times, hardly a leftist outlet of any sort, reported to us in September that there is a brigade that has been designated to patrol the streets of the United States in the event of a huge natural disaster or a public disturbance. And we tie that together with some of the comments during the bailout debate, including those made by Brad Sherman, a California congressman, a Democrat, who said that some members were told that there would be martial law if they didn't pass the bailout. Well, the bailout passed, so that was averted, but we'll talk with Naomi about that next hour. Also, Melanie Sloan checks in her weekly visit to talk about corruption in Washington. She's the executive director of CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. And we do have one token male guest today, John Amato from Crooks and Liars, will be with us next hour. Jason Leopold, unable to join us today because he is on a reporting assignment. You can join the conversation at any time. Toll free, 888-5, Peter B., that's my number, 888-573-8372. Just a couple of quick economic updates for you. The market was calm today and ended down about 76 points at 9,310. And Wall Street, of course, is still excited about the bailout money that Henry Paulson is passing out. And they've changed the program. And Paulson's allowed to do that under the broad latitude and the incredible powers given him under this bailout bill. But he's announced that some of his favorite banks are getting cash infusions in exchange for some stock. Citigroup, $25 billion. Bank of America, $25 billion. J.P. Morgan Chase, $25 billion. Wells Fargo, $25 billion. Now, I bank at two of those four institutions, B of A and Wells Fargo. So on the one hand, I'm a little comforted that they're going to have more capital. On the other hand, I've been laboring under the impression that these are the healthy banks. And I still don't see any mechanism that requires them to resume lending money. And that appears to be the goal here. And I mean, they're giving my money away to these corporate people. I'm just not very comfortable with it. Joining me now is Margaret Atwood. She's a Canadian writer who divides her time between Toronto and an island just off the Canadian coast of Lake Erie in the Great Lakes. She's one of the world's preeminent writers, written tens of books, poetry, fiction, nonfiction. She's won the Booker Prize, the Scotiabank Giller Prize. And I am delighted to meet you, Margaret Atwood. Thanks for joining us on the Peter B. Collins Show today.
A pleasure.
First of all, the view from Canada of these wacky Yanks as they leverage themselves 32 times and then wonder why it all came crashing down.
Yes, well, what can I say? Americans are great optimists and risk takers. And Canadians are somewhat more stodgy and have different kinds of banking rules. So although everything that happens south of us spills over onto us one way or another, we are not in quite the state of total chaos that it seems to be going on down there, but it will have an effect on us.
Well, I've spent some time across the lake. I got my radio career started in Port Clinton, Ohio. We were number one in Put-in Bay. That's Catawba Island. And, you know, we share a border. We share the polluted water of that lake. We share the birds that migrate back and forth. And I'm just curious if there's a metaphor in that for the way that globalization has limited the kind of protection that Canada had from the excesses of American adventurism and risk-taking.
Well, you know, as you've seen in world markets, everything is now connected. And the people who have been most protected have paradoxically been the people who weren't fully integrated into the system. But remember the domino effect? Remember that term from long, long ago?
Mm-hmm.
It was used about the Vietnam War, which was justified on the grounds that if you didn't do it, there would be a domino effect.
Right.
Well, what you've just seen is a domino effect in finance, in which if some very, very big institutions go down, a lot of others are connected with them, and they have been pulled down too.
Mm-hmm.
So where does it all stop? What is this big black hole into which all the money is vanishing?
Well, and many of us want to just kind of revert to cash. We think cash is king, cash and gold. But
well,
you can't operate with that anymore, can you?
Well, yes, you can. But, of course, all financial systems are human inventions, and that is what my book Payback is about, that we have actually made all of this up. We've made up money, we've made up all of the all of the systems we've put in place to allow these rapid transfers of imaginary sums.
Yeah.
And even money, you know, that paper money, it's supposed to represent something. Originally, it was supposed to represent a certain amount of gold, all that stuff in Fort Knox. But even that is not exactly true anymore. And one of the dangers looming is that people will lose faith even in the currency, and then you'll get inflation.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a situation where you have a bunch of cash, but you can't buy very much for it.
And as a Canadian, let me ask you about this, because often we've heard this great bluster from American investors and business people that, well, this investment is backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. Well, the dollar is, you know, it's been sliding. It's actually fared a little better recently.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have squandered our goodwill and our position in the world
yes.
through the misadventure in Iraq.
Yes,
We have really stigmatized many nations, saying that you got to be either for us or against us when things are more complicated than that. And I'm just curious what you think the full faith and credit of the United States government means today.
Well, he used a very, very important word, and that is faith. Because unless people believe in the money, the financial institutions, they will not trust those institutions, and they won't play the game. You know, they won't invest anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when currency stops being current. It's called currency because it has to flow. And when it stops flowing, a lot of things will be slowed down or brought to a standstill. So faith is pretty important.
Mm-hmm.
But that faith has been, it seems to me, abused by the way financial institutions were treating it. And I'm not alone in saying that the nation has to get back to a better form of regulation so that there's somebody minding the shop.
Oh, come on. We had voluntary regulation on Wall Street.
Well, that's worth what voluntary regulation is usually worth, which is nothing. And it's an invitation to, I'm sorry to say, lie, cheat, and steal. And the reason for that is if one person starts doing it and it's allowed, the others all say, well, why not me?
Mm-hmm.
And why should he have more than me? And then it becomes a competition to see who can do it the most.
Margaret Atwood with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a comment or a question, you want to just share the pain of our current economic crisis, give us a call, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. In a Wall Street Journal piece that you wrote back in September, you helped people understand the term mortgage.
And that's right.
I have to say that I'd never really thought about it. Maybe somewhere I'd seen this defined. But what does mortgage mean, Margaret?
Well, think first about what real estate means. It was called real estate because people thought it was based on something real.
Mm-hmm.
So as opposed to the rest of your estate, which might be movable goods of some kind, your real estate was sitting there and it wasn't going to go anywhere. So it was a negotiable thing. And the mortgage is something that you got with the security of your real estate behind it. So it wasn't just like a free-floating loan. It was a loan that was secured to something. And the first part of that word, M-O-R-T, is French for dead.
Yeah.
And then the second part, G-A-G-E, gauge, that's a pledge. So, and it's also the same thing that if you read historical romances, he threw down his gauge. Well, that's what you did when you challenged somebody to a duel, and your gauge, usually a glove, was your pledge that you were going to turn up the next day for pistols at dawn. So a mort gauge is a dead pledge, and it became dead when you paid it off.
Very interesting.
So, yes, all of these things have long histories.
We're going to take a break and return and talk about the new book by Margaret Atwood called Payback, subtitled Debt and the Shadow Side of Wealth. She offers some fascinating concepts there that you might not ordinarily think about, when you're running up your credit card or paying down a loan. We'll take a break and return with writer Margaret Atwood here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
I'm Todd Hornick, and I approve this message.
I'm Amy Carrizosa, a peace officer in Monterey County. On behalf of 19 individual officer associations and the entire law enforcement community, we urge you to elect Todd Hornick, Monterey County Judge. Todd's opponent has never practiced law in Monterey County. While Todd has earned our support through his faithful and diligent efforts on behalf of Monterey County residents every day for the past 14 years, Todd Hornick is clearly the best qualified candidate for Monterey County Judge.
I'm Todd Hornick, and I approve this message.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests, and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Socolo Mexican Restaurant is proud to announce the opening of our newest restaurant in Old Town Salinas, located at 321 Main Street. As with our original location in Pacific Grove, Socolo features Angus beef, handmade tortillas, and the freshest ingredients available. Socolo offers many unique specials like pozole verde, chicken mole, and albondigas. You won't find frozen meats or canned tomatoes at Socolo. Now with two locations to serve you at 321 Main Street in Old Town Salinas, for reservations and takeout, call 424-1047. That's 424-1047. Or if you're on the Monterey Peninsula, visit us at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number there is 373-7911. That's 373-7911. Socolo Restaurant, the place to go when you're looking for quality, authentic Mexican food.
House and protect your investment.
Custom painting.
Call Don Dickman Painting for a free estimate.
Don Dickman Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Big Sur Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable. Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144. I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
With Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
Talking with two pieces of advice. The best way to follow a horse is with a bucket and a shovel. And neither a borrower nor a lender be. Gosh, I'm in violation on both sides of that one right now. That's Randy Bachman of the Overdrive Brothers from Canada. It's called Give Me Your Money, Please. Margaret Atwood, a great Canadian writer, is with us. Her new book is called Payback, subtitled Debt and the Shadow Side of Wealth.
And Margaret Atwood, we just have a couple of minutes here. Your book is in five broad sections. Let me focus first on debt and sin, because there are many people who do have religious attitudes and values about money that do waft over into their borrowing and lending practices.
Okay, well, let's get right into it. There's a lot about lending practices in the book of Deuteronomy. And what those rules are about is fairness. And fairness really has to underlie any system like this, or else it will get out of balance, or people won't trust it.
Mm-hmm.
So why is being in debt, how could it be seen as sinful? Well, I think probably if you owe a sum of money and don't pay it, ultimately it's going to hurt somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, if you're a creditor, because that can be sinful too, if you've lent money up under really outrageous conditions that are very, very unfair to the person that you've lent them to, that too is going to hurt other people.
Mm-hmm.
So these ideas about the morality of lending and being in debt have to do with the social harm that the practices may cause when they are abused.
Mm-hmm.
And you have just seen a bunch of that harm being caused by the abuse of the rules of fairness in the financial meltdown.
Mm-hmm. You have a section called the shadow side, and my first thought was about an oppressive practice here in the States called the payday loan. You know about that?
Oh, well, that's you're lending money against somebody's paycheck.
Yeah. At very high interest rates. Yeah.
Well, those are for people who don't have credit, you know, that they can't get money any other way.
Mm-hmm.
And they're often quite exploited for that reason.
Yeah.
But it can go beyond that into the area of revenge, and that's where things really get nasty, because that's when there actually is no way of paying in money.
Mm-hmm.
And other things are then expected.
And the concept that forms your title, payback, tell us your thought there.
Oh, well, that's a double term. It can either mean paying back something that you owe,
mm-hmm.
or it means revenge.
Yeah.
And there are, in fact, a number of movies with that name, and all of them are revenge movies. And there's even a website you can go to which will do some revenges for you.
Oh, really?
Not really bad ones, but you can order up dead fish in a box and things like that.
Can I get a horse head delivered to my favorite Italian?
I did not see any horse head on the menu, but you can get wilted flowers, things like that.
Uh-huh. And so as you zoom out here, you're taking this fascinating overview of debt. Do Americans have a clue?
They will soon.
Yeah.
In fact, you're seeing an awful lot of writing appearing in newspapers and magazines about the sudden cluing up of people. One question people ask me is, all right, is this going to inspire a novel? And what I say is, somewhere out there, there's a child who is probably 10, 11, or 12, and his family circumstances have been very swiftly altered by this meltdown, and his or her life has been disarranged by it. Wait 20 years. That novel will appear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And have you had any personal experiences with debt that shaped your views, Margaret Atwood?
Well, you know, I was brought up to be quite stingy because my parents went through the Depression and then the war.
Mm-hmm.
So personally, not particularly, but we all have family members and friends who have, just by not looking, you know, just by not paying attention, have got into trouble and then had trouble getting out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fascinating. Well, I want to thank you for joining us. It's a real delight to talk with you, and I appreciate all the work that you've done over the years, and I recommend your new book, Payback. Margaret Atwood has been our guest here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
And thank you.
All right, great to talk with you.
Bye-bye.
And I just want to give a shout-out to some of the people supporting the Peter B. Collins Show. Patricia Dahlhoff in Crescent City, Hank Jerger in Davis, California, and I just got an email from Russ Archibald in Hawaii, one of our long-distance listeners, all helping out to keep the Peter B. Collins Show on the air during these tough economic times. You can help, too. Go to my website, peterbcollins.com. The link is right there on the homepage. You can help. And if you don't have internets,
My mailing address is Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. That's P.O. Box 100, and the zip code is 94942. Thank you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech. I'm Charles Osgood. Yesterday's spectacular rally on Wall Street was welcome, but it was not a surprise. Considering the bloodbath that took place in the eight trading sessions before that, prices had dropped to a point where there were bargains everywhere. But yesterday was not a typical day in other ways. Because it was a Columbus Day holiday, banks were closed, and so were American bond markets, so it was harder to gauge the reaction of credit markets. Today should be a better gauge, and we'll also have a chance to digest President Bush's announcement this morning about the government using $250 billion of the money in the rescue package Congress passed and he signed to take equity positions in banks. More after this. Did you know that the most common cause of blindness in people age 60 and over is a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, or AMD? It begins with symptoms including wavy lines, hazy vision, and blurriness. So if you're not seeing clearly, see an eye doctor and get checked out right away, because early detection followed by proper treatment by a retina specialist is key. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
My husband had a health concern a month ago.
Mr. Thompson, everything looks good.
Oh, thanks, doctor.
It turned out to be nothing, but it got us doing more for our health.
And stretch and bend.
Like morning exercise and taking silver.
Centrum Silver Multivitamin is age-adjusted. It helps protect your health as you age with key antioxidants that help support natural cell repair. Centrum Silver Multivitamin.
Things are sure changed around here.
Our health protection starts with silver.
Take along with a healthy diet and exercise.
Once a decision is made, the decision-makers pat each other on the back as if action had taken place, but there's always a lag between deciding to do something and getting it done, especially something as huge and complex as the $700 billion bailout-slash-rescue act. What has now happened, here and abroad too, is excellent, in the opinion of Paul Krugman of Princeton University, New York Times columnist, who yesterday was announced as winner of this year's Nobel Prize for Economics.
This is what a lot of economists have been calling for. The problem is the banks don't have enough capital to do their business. People don't trust them. This is what the doctor ordered.
Krugman says the markets might have straightened things out on their own in time, but we've gotten to the point that we'd pretty much run out of time.
There are times the free markets are great, but sometimes you got to step in. And right now, you know, we're on the edge of the precipice.
Economic storms build up force and pressure. And regardless of how it started, that is also true of the recession that might have otherwise barreled through.
The recession is still, you know, barreling along. There's a lot of momentum behind it. These are not going to be good times. We're just trying to prevent them from being terrible times.
The Osgood File. Transcripts, podcasts, and MP3s of these programs can be found at theosgoodfile.com. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Yeah.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show this half hour, taking a look at ballot proposition 4, 3 weeks from today. James Brown was the godfather of soul, the hardest working man in show business, and quite a sexist guy. And I played this song because my take on Proposition 4 is that it is unnecessary interference in the right of a young woman to make a very critical decision should she become pregnant. And we've been around this block before. Proposition 4 is officially titled the Abortion Waiting Period and Parental Notification Initiative. It would prohibit abortion for unemancipated minors until 48 hours after a physician notifies a minor's parent, legal guardian, or if parental abuse has been reported, an alternative adult family member. It is supported by Governor Schwarzenegger and an array of conservative organizations here in California. To discuss it, we've invited Catherine Spiller. She is Executive Vice President of the Feminist Majority Foundation. She is the Executive Editor of Ms. Magazine. She is the former Los Angeles President of the National Organization for Women. Kathy Spiller, welcome to our program today.
Thank you so much.
It's nice to talk with you. And I think this is a very important issue, and we have a dozen ballot measures that voters will take a look at either when they vote early or on Election Day 3 weeks from today. And I'm very concerned because very little attention, I believe, in the media has been paid to the specifics, the details of many of these complex ballot measures. There are two about crime and punishment that I am bitterly opposed to, and there's almost zero coverage of them. That's number 6 and number 9, I think. And we see that Proposition 8, which would ban same-sex marriage that has been approved by our state Supreme Court, was trending to defeat and is now trending toward passage. And similarly, Proposition 4 appears to be narrowly on track to pass. So we've got important work in just 3 weeks to do to try to educate people about the real issues of parental notification. Now, first, as to the background, I'm trying to remember, is this the third attempt to pass a parental notification ballot measure in California?
Exactly right. This is the third time it's going to appear on a statewide ballot. Over the last 2 years, Californians have twice voted down this very dangerous measure, Prop 4, but it rears its head again and is on the ballot this November. And as you said, the polling has it as a very tight race. And it all depends, I guess, as it always does, on who shows up on Election Day and who votes early and who votes by mail, which has already started.
That's right. And, Kathy, how does the language and the details of Proposition 4 compare with the two parental notification ballot measures that have previously failed?
Very similar wording, except this time the initiative provides an opportunity for a young woman under 18 who feels she cannot tell her parents for whatever reason. And let me stop there for just a moment and say that the vast majority of young women do confide in their parents and seek their help and their advice in dealing with an unwanted pregnancy. But there are young women under 18 who feel, for whatever reason, that they cannot talk with their parents. They don't want to disappoint their parents. They may be headed to college, and their parents have been counting on them maybe as the first generation to go to college. They don't want to disappoint their parents. They don't want to discuss those very personal matters, or they could fear abuse or other recriminations. And so, you know, a young woman in her judgment decides she can't go to her parents. What is she to do? This initiative is deceptively worded because it appears to provide her an opportunity to consult with another adult family member, maybe an older sister or an aunt or a grandmother. The problem with that so-called exception is that it requires her to claim that she would face abuse if her parents were to find out about an unwanted pregnancy and her decision to seek an abortion. So in a way, it's, you know, it with one hand is providing an exception to this very harsh rule of parental notification, and with the other hand taking it away for most young women. So although voters might think that, well, this is an exception, this is more acceptable, and would be more willing to vote for something like this, not realizing that really the exception is a false exception, and that the initiative that's on the ballot now is just as restrictive and potentially dangerous as the previous two initiatives that voters have voted against.
Now, Kathy Spiller, what do you say to a parent of a daughter in particular, who says, you know, the school has to call me before they even give a couple of aspirin or ibuprofen to my daughter? And that we can't, she's not permitted to get tattooed under the age of 18 without our approval. Yet she can get contraception, and in most cases she can get an abortion without our knowledge or approval. And I do find that to be a strong argument, that parents in a loving family situation, a healthy family situation, believe that they have a right to know these very critical medical issues about their child.
Well, pregnancy and sexually transmitted diseases and access to contraception all fall into a very special category. Historically in California and frankly throughout the country, recognizing that to require a young person to reveal that they are sexually active in order to either receive contraception or counseling or be treated for sexually transmitted disease, public policy and public health policy has always recognized that that's a dangerous road to go down, because young people won't reveal their sexual activity, and we want to be sure that sexually transmitted diseases are treated, or that contraception it would be available for sexually active young people, or that they would be able to receive counseling for avoiding unwanted pregnancies. And so public health policy has always looked at these very intimate and sexual related kinds of medical situations very differently. The whole goal of public health policy is to be sure, and as its parents' goals too, is to be sure that their children are getting the best possible medical care that's available. And to do that requires, in some cases, a confidentiality. And that's what has been recognized under California law, and it's what this initiative intends to change. We want young men, for example, not spread sexually transmitted diseases and to receive the kinds of medical treatment that they might seek out without having to notify their parents that they're seeking treatment for sexually transmitted diseases. So in these kinds of cases where there's public health issues and the very health and lives of young people at stake, we've always recognized that these kinds of issues need to be treated differently. Unfortunately, this initiative closes off all doors to a young woman who finds herself with an unwanted pregnancy and is trying to make a responsible decision for her own life. Mm-hmm. You know, it's natural that parents want to, it's responsible, frankly, that parents want to be involved with their children's medical decisions. And where there's good, strong communication and an openness to be able to deal with a situation like this, that's what happens. But parents will tell you that if not knowing means that their daughter is still going to get the best quality medical care that the state of California has to offer, the state-of-the-art medical care and counseling, they'd rather her have that than seek a back alley abortion or attempt to induce an abortion. They would rather her be safe and in the care of medical professionals than and not know because of the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
In some states like Texas and Indiana that have passed these laws, you've seen some real terrible situations develop where the young woman can't tell her parents, seeks a back alley abortion, seeks to self-induce an abortion, and ends up either dead or terribly injured.
Yeah. I mean, there are too many cases where you can imagine a young woman, 14 to 17, 18 years old, who finds out she's pregnant, and her first response, her first emotion is, my dad is going to kill me. Now, in most cases, that is hyperbole. It's an overstatement. But it represents the lack of communication between a parent and child. And that is more common than I think the framers of this initiative would want to admit. And we cannot have a law that is designed around a single set of scenarios, because there are cases of incest where a child, you know, would have to report to the father who had sex with her that she's pregnant and doesn't want to carry the baby. And, you know, most people can't even imagine that kind of a situation because it hasn't come up in their lives and in the values that they live within. But we can't have a law that doesn't account for the full range of possibilities in family relationships.
Well, exactly. And the medical community has come down strongly on the side opposing this kind of restrictive initiative, this Prop 4 that's on the ballot. The California Association of Family Physicians, the California Medical Association, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, the District 9 that's out here in California, the medical community, including the nurses and teachers, frankly, come down against these kinds of restrictive access to safe medical care that is embodied in Prop 4 because they know the consequences. They know the fallout from these kinds of restrictive laws when they've passed in other states. And so we're hoping, of course, that Californians will educate themselves about this initiative and vote against Prop 4. It's a very potentially dangerous initiative.
We're talking with Kathy Spiller here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a question or comment about Prop 4, about parental notification and abortion rights, give us a call now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And is it your view, Kathy, that this is an effort that's a first step toward an attempt to ban abortion rights altogether?
Well, of course, that's where the proponents of this initiative would like us to go. They're unable to outright ban abortion. Their whole strategy politically has been to chip away, and to deny access to safe abortion and to abortion counseling and to birth control for different populations. And young women, many times the most vulnerable, can't even vote for or against this initiative on the ballot. Will end up suffering should this initiative pass. But we're seeing other initiatives that are even more severe on the ballot this November in South Dakota and Colorado, for example, initiatives that in effect are outright bans on abortion. Although as long as Roe versus Wade is the law of the land, neither of those two initiatives, should they pass, will take effect. But the fear, of course, is that those initiatives become the test cases that go all the way to the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
And this court that has increasingly been stacked with anti-women's rights and anti-abortion and anti-birth control justices could end up using those initiatives as an excuse to overturn Roe versus Wade and throw it back to the states. So although California doesn't faced the most severe of these kinds of restrictive measures, this is certainly yet another restriction. And for young women, this might as well be a total ban in many cases because of the restrictions that it would impose on them if they were seeking help for an unplanned pregnancy.
We're going to take a break and return with Kathy Spiller. She's Executive Vice President of the Feminist Majority Foundation, Executive Editor of Ms. Magazine, and she's speaking out in opposition to Proposition 4 on the ballot 3 weeks from today. Again, my number is 888-5. Peter B., give me a call if you'd like to comment on this. More in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Nick Tanum is taking your calls today. KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
On July 1st, Carmel's beloved cartoonist Bill Bates had a heart attack. He's been in intensive care for months. The good news is Bill's beginning to recover. But Bill and his family face a long, hard pull ahead, and they need our spiritual and financial support. Please come to the Carmel Mission, Sunday, October 26th, 2 to 5 p.m. for the big benefit for Bill and family.
Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz is the number one headquarters for runners. Whether you're a novice or a serious competitor, Central Coast Running has everything you need from shoes to sportswear. Locally owned and operated by UC Santa Cruz cross-country coach Adam Booth, Central Coast Running should be your first stop before you run. Here's Adam with a tip on running.
We've got it pretty good on the Central Coast. There are lots of cool places to run all over the county. Wilder, Nicene Marks, Poganip, Westcliff, they're all great. This is Adam at Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz. Our whole staff not only works here, they run here too. Aaron and I are training for the Cal International Marathon. James and Alexia can be found jogging on Westcliff with their new puppy Sundance. And Brennan Lynch is having a great cross-country season for Santa Cruz High. Chris Proffitt left us to run for UC Irvine, so Charlie has joined our team and is starting at UCSC this fall. Come into Central Coast Running and enjoy running and walking with us.
Central Coast Running, located in the Gateway Plaza near the corner of Highway 1 and River Street in Santa Cruz, or visit them online at centralcoastrunning.com.
Hello, Marina voters. I'm Bruce Delgado, and I'm asking for your vote to be your next mayor of Marina. I was on city council from 2000 to 2004, and when I ran for mayor in 2004, I barely lost by 69 votes. With your support, we can win this time and finally have a mayor that lives and breathes working class values. My opponent goes on cruises with developers and big business interests who have financial involvement with large four-door developments, and this is too cozy to ensure citizens like you that your priorities come first during city negotiations with big business. Good-paying jobs, affordable housing, and downtown revitalization will help working-class families and seniors on fixed incomes. This is why labor unions are endorsing me and why Jane Parker, supervisor-elect for the 4th District, supports me and Marina's campaign for change. I ask for your vote by mail or on November 4th. Let's do this together. Thank you. I'm Bruce Delgado, and I approve this message.
Sun Street Centers has an outpatient recovery program designed for men and women with alcohol or drug issues referred by the court system. Clients are provided with group and one-on-one sessions that focus on living life alcohol and drug-free, relapse prevention, parenting skills, and anger management. Sun Street also addresses family issues, conflict resolution, and introduces the 12-step program. Clients can choose either 2 or 3 days a week or evenings with sites in Salinas and Marina. Go to sunstreetcenters.com to sign up. Don't wait. sunstreetcenters.com.
Or on the Peter B. Collins Show. Will you abstain with me? I mean, we can get all hot and bothered, but let's abstain together.
Oh, baby, looking at you tonight. There's something I'd like to do tonight. And I believe in abstinence only, but I don't want to leave you lonely, so abstain with me, baby, all night long. Come over and refrain with me, baby, all night long. dump that Jones. So come on now, get stoned in lover's lane with me. Abstain with me.
We continue here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Kathy Spiller is our guest. And Kathy, this spoof song by Roy Zimmerman about abstinence,
right,
points up the ludicrousness of the whole approach. And the Bush administration has invested millions of our dollars, and the benefit is negligible. We don't see any sharp increase in teenagers actually remaining virgins or staying free of sexual activity. And we see that even in groups that take certain pledges, that their rates of sexually transmitted diseases and pregnancy often match people who are in the general population.
Absolutely. It's hundreds of millions of dollars over the last 8 years have gone into abstinence only until marriage programs, and the results have been disastrous in many cases. For the first time in, I think, two decades, we've seen the rate of unplanned teenage pregnancies in this country actually increase. And it, you know, all of the abstinence only money that has been spent has had no impact. In fact, it's now having the reverse impact. The U.S. has the highest rate of teen pregnancy of all industrialized nations in the world.
95% of teens have sex before marriage?
Exactly. So that is the reality. And instead of dealing with the reality and investing more in comprehensive reproductive health and sex education programs, which are shown to be the most effective, yes, you include information on abstinence and you talk about abstinence, but only as part of a comprehensive sex education and reproductive health program. And you make sure that for those teens who, for whatever their reasons and whatever their decisions, become sexually active, and as you said, 95% of teens have sex before they're married, and half of them before they graduate from high school, you want to make sure that they have all the information that they need to protect themselves against sexually transmitted diseases. And remember, the HPV virus can end up causing cervical cancer in the long run for teenage girls who are sexually active. So you want to be sure that they're protecting themselves against sexually transmitted diseases and against unplanned pregnancies. You know, in countries all over the world, especially, I mean, let's take most of Europe, for example, where the attitude has been that we're going to teach comprehensive sex education. We're going to make sure that young people have access to the information they need on contraception and on birth control and have access to affordable contraception. Their teenage pregnancy rates are quite low compared to ours, and their rate of sexually transmitted diseases is quite low compared to ours. So they've pursued a public health policy and programs that have actually improved the health of teenagers and the prospects for teenagers, whereas the United States has gone exactly backwards
on this. Now, Kathy, poll after poll shows that large majorities in the 80% range of Americans of all stripes, including Republicans, including people who define themselves as evangelical Christians, have very pragmatic approaches to sex education, to access to contraception, to even access to abortion. Yet we are being ruled by a minority that has remarkable success in persuading people who appear not to think deeply about these issues that, oh yeah, parental notification, that makes sense, I'm for it. But they don't think about the underlying issues and the complexities that you have described here today.
Well, exactly. And when it comes to Congress and to state legislatures, inordinate influence by anti-abortion, anti-birth control forces that have kept, you know, these kinds of laws in place, especially when it comes to increasing funding for abstinence only and decreasing the money that is going into reproductive health care, comprehensive health care, into providing family planning and contraceptive services. That money has been decreasing while we've increased dramatically abstinence only until marriage funding. So you know, we have this inordinate influence by those opposed to reproductive health care services.
Yeah, one millionaire from San Diego has really funded all three of these ballot measures.
Well, exactly. And so with any luck, you know, hopefully Californians will get the information they need to vote their positions. And the position has been in favor of access to birth control and in favor of access to safe abortion, and has rejected these kinds of very restrictive measures twice before. So we're hoping that as information gets out, as voters are beginning to pay more and more attention to, you know, November 4th is 3 weeks away, and studying up on these issues and looking at who supports it and who opposes it, that it'll help them make their decisions, and as they have twice before, reject this.
Kathy Spiller, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much.
And I urge a no vote on Proposition 4. The Peter B. Collins Show hits the road tomorrow, Thursday. We'll be live from Detroit. Check it out. Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, the commercial scheduled for this moment will not be broadcast because your humble host forgot to load it in the CD player. So enjoy this commercial-free minute. Coming up next hour, Naomi Wolf will join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're going to talk about the risk of fascism breaking out in this country and also the threat of martial law. And also next hour, John Amato from the website crooksandliars.com will be with us. I think Sarah Palin will be topic A. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You can share a podcast with a friend. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A 76-point loss after yesterday's market rebound.
We are returning to a fear that maybe this one won't hold either.
The latest CBS News New York Times poll.
The Obama-Joe Biden ticket has a 14-point lead over the Republicans John McCain and Sarah Palin.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The day began with another statement from President Bush announcing the government's plan to free up the credit system by investing up to $250 billion in banks.
It'll take time for our efforts to have their full impact, but the American people can have confidence about our long-term economic future.
But the stock market's confidence waned today. After an early 400-point gain, the Dow seesawed through the session and closed 76 points lower at 93.10. On the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, Art Cashin of UBS Financial said investors are wary.
People, having watched what we've seen over the past 15 to 20 days, don't have the great courage to step out and risk a lot by buying into stocks until they see the air clear a little bit.
More from CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus.
The traders I spoke to say now we can at least set aside worries about worst-case scenario and a depression. And they believe that all the steps the government is taking will, in the end, help this crippled banking system. And so now for this market, it's getting back to basics.
A bad earnings report from PepsiCo rattled the market. The soft drink and snack giant announced plans to cut 3,300 jobs and close six plants after a 9.5% drop in third-quarter profits. After the markets closed, Intel reported a 12% earnings increase, but said the outlook for this quarter is uncertain. Now this.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your gas gauge.
Oh, my needle is asleep.
What's wrong, gas gauge?
For some reason, I haven't been moving.
Oh, well, that's probably because I got the Works Fuel Saver package at the dealership.
Oh.
Yeah, it's an oil change, tire rotation, and more, just $29.95 or less after a $10 mail-in rebate.
Wow.
Yeah, hey, I'm going to stop for a sandwich. Do you want anything?
No, thanks. I'm full.
Good one.
Taxes, diesel, and disposal fee extra. See your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership for rebate details through 11-30-08.
Have you heard? Walgreens has generics for less than $1 a week. That's less than $1 a week for a 90-day supply on over 400 generic medications when you sign up for Walgreens Prescription Savings Club. Plus, save on 5,000 other brand name and generic medications. See how much you could save and get $50 in coupons free just for asking about the club.
Program is not insurance. Membership fee required. Membership may be canceled within 30 days of issue date. See store for complete terms and conditions.
Barack Obama has a double-digit lead in the latest CBS News New York Times poll.
Now the lead is 14 points for Obama, 53%, to 39% for McCain. That according to the CBS News Director of Surveys, Kathleen Frankovic. Key reason?
Independents, who have gone back and forth over the last few months between McCain and Obama, now give Obama an 18-point lead over John McCain, 51% to 33%.
The statistical margin of error up to 3 points on all major issues. Voters are saying that Democrats are more likely than Republicans to make the right decision. Dan Reeves, CBS News.
The poll was taken between Friday and Monday, right after the stock market's meltdown. 89% of those surveyed said the country's headed in the wrong direction. Only 7% said we're on the right track. John McCain, campaigning in Pennsylvania today, unveiled a $52 billion plan to boost the economy.
A typical middle-class family of four, making $42,000 a year with health insurance, will get $4,350 more under my plan than they would under Senator Obama's plan.
He proposes to cut the capital gains tax for 2 years and eliminate the tax on unemployment benefits. The federal government closed out its 2008 fiscal year on September 30th with a deficit of nearly $455 billion. That's more than double the deficit for 2007. And with additional strains brought on by the economic crisis, some experts say the red ink for the current fiscal year could approach $1 trillion. The wildfires are moving fast in California's San Fernando Valley.
When we saw the flames in our backyard, they were as high as our two-story house. We just grabbed the kids and grabbed the pets and ran into the car and took off.
The fire in the northern ridge of the valley doubled in size to nearly 10,000 acres. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger says the conditions for firefighting couldn't be worse.
Perfect storm, which means very strong winds. We have low humidity and we have heat.
The Santa Ana wind is gusting to 60 miles per hour. Still, a fire in the northeastern valley is now 70% contained, and some evacuees have been allowed to go home. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
$10? Maybe 2 cups of gourmet coffee.
Oh, about 3 gallons of gas?
These days, $10 doesn't go very far. Except, that is, at Sam's Club. This weekend for just $10, you can get a Sam's Club membership that's good through December 31st, 2008. Enjoy members-only pricing on the things you need every day. Milk, produce, laundry detergent, diapers, pet care, and more. 10 weeks of savings for just $10. Just when you need it most.
Heard they got great prices on gas, too.
10 weeks, $10. Starting this Friday, only at Sam's Club.
Have you heard? Walgreens has generics for less than $1 a week. That's less than $1 a week for a 90-day supply on over 400 generic medications when you sign up for Walgreens Prescription Savings Club. Plus, save on 5,000 other brand name and generic medications. See how much you could save and get $50 in coupons free just for asking about the club.
Program is not insurance. Membership fee required. Membership may be canceled within 30 days of issue date. See store for complete terms and conditions.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Later this hour, we'll talk with John Amato from crooksandliars.com. But first, Naomi Wolf returns.
Pink ribbon off my eyes. I'm exposed. No big surprise. Don't you think I know exactly where I stand? This world is forcing me to hold your hand. Cause I'm just a girl, but they don't love me. Well, don't let me out of your sight. Oh, I'm just a girl, already at my feet. No, don't let me have any right.
Naomi Wolf is the author of 7 books, including The End of America, and going back a few years to The Beauty Myth. Her latest is Give Me Liberty, a handbook for American revolutionaries. Naomi, welcome back to our program today.
Thank you, Peter. It's nice to talk to you again.
Well, it's good to talk with you, and I felt a need to reconnect after our discussion a few weeks ago because we talked about your book, we talked about creeping fascism, and we talked about the story in the Army Times about the deployment of a brigade to the United States for the purpose of possibly patrolling the United States. And it's taken on a little bit of new urgency because during the congressional debate over the Wall Street bailout, a congressman from California blurted out some remarks. And he said, this is Brad Sherman, who is a guy I know and I consider quite credible. He said that during the arm twisting over the bailout bill, that some Democratic members of Congress were told that if they didn't vote for it, that it was likely that martial law would be declared in this country. Did you hear that?
I not only heard it, I've been writing and speaking about it with great urgency because obviously if that statement is correct, and I'm aware that he has not retracted it, well, I'm also aware that no one else has given a secondary source to it. It explains that, you know, one possible reason for the 1st Brigade to have been deployed from Iraq to the United States. You know, what's the reason for the Bush White House to have subverted the Insurrection Act and Posse Comitatus, violating the founding generation's, you know, intention that we in America would be free of military on our civilian streets? You know, before the 1st Brigade was deployed, a threat like that would have been kind of laughable. But the 1st Brigade is, as I think you and I talked about, the president's own personal army. They are answerable to him. They're not answerable to Congress. They're not answerable to us. They're not answerable to the governors. And, you know, so one thing that the deployment of the 1st Brigade does do is put teeth in that threat if indeed that's a real story. And, again, you know, your listeners can look at YouTube. You know, there's a clip from C-SPAN of Representative Sherman saying exactly this.
Well, allow me to play it for you right now. This is a brief excerpt from Brad Sherman, and he gave a speech. It's called Special Orders. That's when a member of Congress is allowed to take to the floor after a session and give a speech. And it happened that this was occurring as they were waiting for the one and only vice presidential debate to be broadcast that same evening. This is Brad Sherman, Democrat from Los Angeles.
The only way they can pass this bill is by creating and sustaining a panic atmosphere. That atmosphere is not justified. Many of us were told in private conversations that if we voted against this bill on Monday, that the sky would fall, the market would drop 2,000 or 3,000 points the first day, another couple thousand the second day, and a few members were even told that there would be martial law in America if we voted no. That's what I call fear-mongering.
So this is Brad Sherman, and by the way, since he gave that speech, we have been in touch with his office trying to schedule him on the program. We're not strangers. Brad and I have known each other since he was on the obscure Board of Equalization here in California in the 1990s. But to date, we have not been able to get him to comment for us on the record. Have you heard any further comments from Sherman or others corroborating his charge here?
You know, I've been looking. I understand that he did an interview with Alex Jones, who's quite he's pretty far on the spectrum of...
I would agree.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he didn't retract it. He sort of, he sort of hedged his words, but he did not retract it. And I'm sure that many, many people have been trying to reach him to get further confirmation or further information. As far as I know from my research, he has not retracted it. Now, I could certainly understand, given how power exerts pressure with the kind of criminals we have in the White House now who are guilty, and I mean this quite literally, of, essentially establishing a coup situation by deploying the military and if indeed they made a threat like that.
Mm-hmm.
It is essentially kind of an act of treason. I mean, it's, you know, the strict definition of a coup is a sudden change in the form of government, and, you know, that is what this would amount to if it, indeed it's true. He has not retracted it. I can see with the nature of pressure from criminals like this, he might not want to be out front by himself elucidating it.
Yeah.
But it's certainly troubling. You know, it's very troubling. And you know what's even more troubling to me?
Tell me.
All over California and Oregon and all over the states that I've been traveling to, talking about these developments, talking about the deployment of the 1st Brigade and this, at least one source threat of martial law, you know, either of which alone is disturbing enough, especially in light of the argument I made in The End of America, this is exactly the kind of thing you see at stage 10 of a closing society.
Mm-hmm.
what distresses me a lot is none of the major media, none of the mainstream media is reporting on the deployment of the 1st Brigade. Where are they? You know, the fact that we are sitting here talking about this confirmed, corroborated report of 3,000 to 4,000 warriors who have to follow orders from the president. If he says, you know, shoot at these civilians, they have to shoot. If he says arrest Congress, they have to do it, according to my interview with Major David Antoun of the Air Force. It's the fact that we don't know where they are, you know, that an audience of people say to me, well, my brother is with the 1st Brigade and they are engaged in exercises right now, or people call up and tell me, you know, we see military activity around the armory in L.A., or, you know, I'm in Georgia and I'm seeing a lot of military activity here. This is not the way to run a democracy.
Yeah. Naomi Wolf is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a question or comment, or you can add something to the issues we're discussing, feel free to call right now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Naomi, I don't have it in front of me, but I believe it was at the Huffington Post last week that I read an article you wrote with the questions and answers from Antoun.
Yeah.
It was HuffPo, right?
It may have been picked up in Huffington Post. I had a long quote from him in Huffington Post, but the Q&A with Antoun was on Alternate, and your listeners can go to that and take a look.
Sure, alternate.org. So recap briefly for us what Antoun added to your knowledge.
Sure. It was very chilling to me because, you know, understandably, after 200 years of being protected by the Insurrection Act and Posse Comitatus, we really have to kind of refresh our understanding of what it means to have soldiers on America's streets, because this, again, is exactly what the founding generation tried to protect us from. So I asked him, you know, I'm repeating a little bit now what I said earlier, but if the president says arrest these civilians, what happens? And he said they have to do it. If the president says shoot these civilians, what happens? They have to do it. If the president says arrest Congress, what happens? They have to do it. And I said, well, what if other military, senior military, tell people not to obey these orders, which, by the way, are now legal? I mean, you understand that President Bush issued a signing statement saying he's not bound by the limitations on the 2007 Defense Authorization Act that keeps him from doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So these orders, if they were illegal orders, the military could disobey them. But they are, unfortunately, they are immoral orders. They are treasonous orders, but they are not illegal. And I said, you know, can senior military say don't follow President Bush's orders or Dick Cheney's orders? President Bush, I should say, is the commander-in-chief. And he said that if they do that, they would be arrested. And I said, well, you know, I was kind of trying to get this through my head. And he said, look, Naomi, understand the 1st Brigade, according to Army Times, has lethal and non-lethal weapons. They've got tasers, which have killed 300 people. They've got rubber bullets. They've got their firearms. They subdued Fallujah. And they have tanks. And so Major Antoun said, the 1st Brigade can drive a tank down a street in Washington and send a shell into the Washington Post's offices and say what they said in Iraq, you know, when they took out Al Jazeera, that they were aiming at something else. And I said, well, what would Congress do if, you know, the president gave the order to the 1st Brigade to arrest them? He said, you know, they'd have to throw themselves on the mercy of the military. So this sounds crazy. You know, it sounds crazy to play out these scenarios. However, I have to say, as a student of closing societies, which is what we are in right now, it is foolish not to play out these scenarios because, first, we really need to think about, well, why does the President of the United States need to deploy his own army right now, a few weeks before an election? The second thing we need to think about, and I made this point both in End of America and Give Me Liberty, is that in a closing society, the weeks before an election are very unstable. They are likely to see hyped threats and provocations to give the leader an opportunity to say, oh, instability, need to restore public order, public emergency, and, you know, create a militarized situation or martial law or state of curfew that could even, you know, give them a justification to suspend the election, to intervene in the election, or simply to intimidate voters. You know, many hundreds of thousands of voters are being purged from rolls, and if they yell and scream at the voting booths, which the First Amendment gives us the right to do, the mission, stated mission of the 1st Brigade is to, quote, subdue unruly individuals. And the last thing I need to tell your listeners, which is completely unbelievable but true, you know, and I did a YouTube interview about this that's gone viral because people can't believe it and neither can I, and yet it's true. You know, remember that the Bush administration, their whole rationale for Guantanamo, for instance, in rendition, is that they define the war on terror as global in scope. The whole world is a battlefield, and also eternal in time, you know, that it'll go on forever unless the president says it's over. So if the whole world is a battlefield, and this justifies their rendition of Maher Arar, it justifies torture, why the Geneva Conventions don't apply in Guantanamo and so on. If the whole world is a battlefield, legally, how is the United States of America not a battlefield now the troops are deployed?
Mm-hmm.
And if the United States is part of the battlefield now the troops are deployed, you know, does civilian law supersede military law?
Right. And, the Military Commissions Act of 06 permits the president to designate even an American citizen as an unlawful enemy combatant, which subjects you to the Gitmo treatment.
Exactly. Well, let's just hesitate a minute there.
Let me ask you to hold that thought because I'm late for a break. We'll do that and come back and let you tell us about that. Naomi Wolf is with us. Her newest book is Give Me Liberty, a handbook for American revolutionaries, and she's also the author of The End of America. We'll go to the phones in the next segment, so get on the line if you'd like to talk with her at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Hello, I'm Solazar.
Hi, I'm Kirilani.
Join us Saturday
from 7 to 9 p.m.
for Good Vibrations Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships,
communication,
health,
and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations.
Saturday, 7 to 9 p.m.
on AM 540 KRXA.
Hello, my name is Bill Monning, and I'm the Democratic Party nominee running for California's 27th Assembly District seat. As a professor, attorney, mediator, and community activist, I have worked to introduce a new culture of mediation and conflict resolution in our courts and our schools. A vote for Bill Monning is a vote for state budget reform, a strong education system, health care reform, and an effective emergency response network. To preserve our pristine environment and build our economy, we must encourage and support green technology, green building, alternative energy, and sustainable water resource management. Despite the gravity of the many challenges we face, I remain committed to the belief that working together we can make a difference. Please vote for Bill Monning for the 27th Assembly District seat. Contact our office at 655-1792 or visit the website at billmonning.org. Thank you. Paid for by Friends of Bill Monning.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark LaCluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale and am currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark LaCluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now, taking a look at the Central Coast traffic, in Monterey at Highway 17 and Davis Road, there is currently a collision with no injuries, so look out there. Taking a look at Santa Cruz, on Ormond Road at Bear Creek Road, there is a report of a brush fire. CHP is currently on the scene. Looking at our weather today, King City is looking warm and sunny at 82 degrees. Monterey is clear and beautiful at 69 degrees. Salinas is sunny and warm at 77 degrees. Santa Cruz is currently 79 degrees and beautiful. Hollister is 77 degrees, and Gilroy is looking good at 79 degrees. And that's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a great afternoon and stay tuned to the Peter B. Collins Show.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest is Naomi Wolf. Her powerful new book is Give Me Liberty, a handbook for American revolutionaries. And we're talking about some very real issues that have not been covered by the corporate media. Recapping, the Army Times reported about 3 weeks ago that the 1st Brigade has been redeployed from Iraq to the United States and given orders to prepare for reining in wayward Americans, whether it's after a natural disaster or some other type of civil disturbance. And Brad Sherman, the congressman from Sherman Oaks, made a comment that members of Congress were threatened with the prospect of martial law if they didn't vote for the bailout. And so, Naomi, I had to cut in as you were about to make a point just before the break there.
It's, at this point, it could be a distinction without a difference, but before the deployment, the president could name any American citizen, innocent U.S. citizen, an enemy combatant, and lock that person up in a Navy brig in isolation for 3 years. They couldn't treat them the way they treat detainees in U.S. custody in Guantanamo or in Iraq. However, with questions raised about, you know, with the deployment of these military, which prevails U.S. law or military law, if they're going to make the case that the U.S. is a battlefield, I do not know whether that protection still applies to us. I mean, one thing that's worrying me a lot and that I am reaching out to lawyers at the Center for Constitutional Rights and the National Lawyers Guild to help me understand is the president has the power, as I understand in the Constitution, to suspend habeas corpus in the event of an insurrection,
right,
or rebellion.
That's correct.
Now, he, you know, I'm concerned that, you know, having done away with the Insurrection Act, he can define insurrection, you know, essentially the way he wants now that he's got the military at his disposal.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess what worries me most is not being a lawyer. You know, I called my colleagues at the Center for Constitutional Rights and said, like, this is what I'm wondering about, and I wanted them to say, Naomi, relax, this is crazy thinking. But they said these are exactly the questions to be asking.
Yeah. And the current status of Posse Comitatus is that it was there was an element tucked into a bill that essentially overturned it. And then the 2007 defense authorization bill included an element that reinstated it. But when the president signed that into law, one of David Addington's signing statements was included that essentially says he reserves the right to ignore that.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, are you comforted at all by the announcement in the media last week that the president has signed executive orders to start the transition process to the next administration?
I mean, am I comforted? It's better than hearing that he's signed, you know, or that he's enacting one of the many laws he's passed allowing for continuity of government,
mm-hmm,
you know, under emergency conditions,
right,
or provisional Executive Order 51, which gives him power over the legislature and, you know, the executive branch, legislative branch, and the judiciary in the event of an emergency. However, I mean, here's why I'm still freaking out, all right? Again, as a student of history, it would be so nice to think, well, okay, he's just deployed a brigade. It's, you know, these are our guys and girls. It doesn't really necessarily mean anything. However, if you've studied history, there is no good example of the deployment of military in civilian context,
yeah,
that has a positive outcome for civilians.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess with these people, they've lied to us so many times, so egregiously, so consistently. I mean, my child still has respiratory disease because we live in Lower Manhattan, and Christy Whitman was sent by the White House to tell the parents in Lower Manhattan after 9/11 that the air was safe to breathe. And now, you know, there's a terrible problem with asthma and respiratory illness among the children of Lower Manhattan. So I do not trust these people. Basically, my study of history will not really let me rest until the Patriot Act has been repealed and Posse Comitatus has been restored, and these troops, you know, have been sent to lay down their arms and go either go home or go back to the battlefield.
Well, I'm glad that you are alert and vigilant, and I encourage you to, you know, please stay in touch with us. Let us know as any new developments arise.
Thank you.
And I thank you for sounding the alarm.
Thank you. Can I, before I go, just reach out to any of your listeners who are military people or related to military people? First of all, get the information to them. Get the, you know, get the analysis to them. Many people aren't aware of this. Mm-hmm. And also, if any of you have information for me, please send it to me, care of myamericaproject.org, so that I can, you know, help all of us. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not just me. It's all
Naomi Wolf, thank you very much. Out of time.
Thank you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
We are all in. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. All of a sudden, the U.S. government is all in. The head of the FDIC.
All of us are prepared to do whatever it takes to fix whatever problems arise.
All in. The Treasury Secretary says he finds the idea of the government owning banks to be objectionable.
Yet the alternative of leaving businesses and consumers without access to financing is totally unacceptable.
So he's all in. And the president...
These measures are not intended to take over the free market, but to preserve it.
The free market had to be preserved, presumably because otherwise it would have eaten itself. So much for free market fundamentalism. Anybody can say they believe in the free market when it's up, but the real test of whether you believe in the market's ability to correct itself is when it's down. And they cut and ran. So, the government will buy bank stock, Bank of America, Citibank, and so on. Only thing left to do now is set up big barrels of free cash outside car dealerships. By the way, one of the banks getting the infusion is the Bank of America, and I've checked with the Bank of America website, and it turns out that the U.S. Treasury now definitely qualifies for the Elite Rewards World MasterCard. That means 500 bonus points after your first qualifying purchase. I figure all I have to do is swipe the card for the next defense appropriation, you rack up 600 billion bonus points, and you know what that means? President flies free. Plus, he gets fraud coverage, which might come in handy when they start buying up those toxic loans. Now this.
We couldn't have asked for a better day to break out the PWCs.
I know. This is great.
Whoa, whoa. What is that?
Oh, that's my new theme music. GEICO helped me save so much money on my PWC insurance, I hired a band to play my own theme song.
Huh. Do they know Freebird?
Saving you money on your PWC insurance is our business. What you do with the money is your business. GEICO Power Sports. Insurance for all the things that move you.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Come here, Max. What's wrong?
Ruff.
What?
Ruff.
Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Ruff, ruff.
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com. Or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow.
Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning to perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal. Choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Well, thank you so much, Doug Shannon. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Jason Leopold sent his regrets today. Working on an exclusive story at the Public Record right now. He'll be back with us next week. Got a lot of great coverage of Trooper Gate and Sarah Palin, so drop in at pubrecord.org and catch up. Returning to our program today is the proprietor of the powerful website, crooksandliars.com. It's John Amato. Hello, John. How you doing?
Hey, Peter. What's happening, buddy?
I just realized today I haven't talked to you in ages. I've been delinquent about dropping by the site, which is kind of a blog, and I just kind of missed you and wanted to check in.
Well, great. You know, you have been delinquent, and the site is rocking. I mean, it's pretty wild. The traffic is through the roof.
Yeah? How many million people come there every month?
Man, millions. I mean, right now, we've had over 170 million people come to the site.
Wow. That's amazing.
It is pretty wild.
Well, then that means that this T. Boone Pickens ad over here on the right is earning you big coin.
Hey, you know, look, if T. Boone wants to throw us some cash, quite all right, because our readers understand. That's the one, you know, that's the one thing. Our readers know the issues. And they can't be swayed one way or the other by an ad. They know it's going on. So I find it funny that T-Bone would come, and actually he bought ads on everybody's site.
Yeah.
Right wing to left wing to, you know, could be a, you know, a gizmo site.
Right.
And let him throw money at us. This is fine because our readers understand who he is and what he is, and they could care less.
Yeah. Well, I'll just share this with you because I happen to have the clip handy, but I had an aborted encounter with T. Boone Pickens, and it was only aborted because my computer stopped recording him about 2 minutes into the interview, and it was one of these deals where, you know, he lines up 10 interviews in a row, and you call into a secret number, and you wait your turn, and then he comes on the line and talks to you for 10 minutes and then moves on to the next guy.
I just read the script. Probably he's got his little talking points like Sean Hannity does, right? He makes the talking points.
Well, just listen to the warm-up here, okay?
Okay.
Mr. Pickens?
Yes, Peter.
How do you do, sir?
Good.
Let's roll here.
Okay, call me Boone.
No.
I would have hung up right there.
I imagine I'm the only one who said no to the line, call me Boone. But I don't know this guy. He's a corporate raider. He's an oil patch wild man. And I appreciate that, you know, he started talking about important issues. He does stand to gain from the interim conversion to natural gas for vehicles. But, hey, you know.
He sounds just like one of those guys that you show up at a party and all of a sudden a card game breaks out.
Yeah.
He's got the deck of cards, and he goes like, well, what's a club? You know? And all of a sudden, you know, you're $300 light. He's going, boy, I got a lucky straight flush.
Yeah. All right, so what have been the most popular stories or items at Crooks and Liars in the last few weeks? Let's say since, you know, Sarah Palin joined the campaign trail.
Wow. I mean, it's numerous. You know, it's just they keep coming and flying out every day. You figure you get a break. Yeah, but what I've been working on a lot is the vitriolic and the right-wing hate that is infesting the McCain campaign live. And what we're seeing, I believe, is the effect of right-wing talk show hosts, Fox News, Drudge. And it's now, you know, because the campaign's winding down and McCain is behind in the polls, they can't control their hatred and their violence and their bigotry. So it's coming right out in the open, and all you have to do is just walk around one of his events with a camera, and people will tell you, you know, the craziest things, that Obama's a terrorist, that, you know, he's working for Iran. I mean, they just come out and out. And to me, it's a direct correlation to what right-wing talk radio does. I have a great clip of Rush Limbaugh that I'm putting up in about an hour, and mm-hmm. He's basically said that it's been a 30-year mission that blacks in America have been training their kids to hate America and to be terrorists.
Well, you know, I had the distinction, I suppose I could call it, of following Rush Limbaugh every day for 3 years on a powerful station in San Francisco. And I was continually amazed by the way he gave voice to the dirty little thoughts that his listeners are afraid to express.
Mm-hmm.
And that by parroting Rush, people found the words, found permission to express racism, hatred for women, you know, the feminazis,
right.
Demonization of homeless people, anger toward gays, and, you know, mockery of AIDS. And all of this, you know, has gained momentum, but clearly has been fueled by the unhinged commentary provided by Sarah Palin. I mean, the scripts that they give her are loaded with language that does produce the desired response from mobs.
It is quite, it's on display for all to see. I mean, when McCain actually had to take the microphone away from an older woman because, you know, it was so visible and so public that he had to try to, she started to talk it back down, but when Palin is on before saying that he's hanging out with terrorists and they're his best friend, it is pretty sickening and disgusting. And as you said, just if we focus on Rush for a second, what he's actually doing is giving permission to people like these people that are yelling out, hang them and kill them, to actually engage in violence somewhere along the line, and that will happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and they know what they've unleashed. They're desperate political operators. They look at the polls. They see McCain, Palin declining in popularity. They see that the economy is the reason, and they are desperate to change the subject because their own polling and their own intuition leads them to conclude that John McCain can't win if the economy is the central issue.
No, I mean, it all comes back. You know, there's a new movie out called The Boogeyman, and it talks a lot about Lee Atwater.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're witnessing now is just the direct playbook of what Lee Atwater started in the 80s, which is get off the issues and destroy the character of the person by association. And if you want to call it guilt by association, it doesn't matter if it's true or not, but by linking just insane, psychotic things, it gets filtered into the audience, and that's how they've been able to really continually win these elections. I mean, John Kerry was a war hero, and by the end of the election, you know, you had right wingers like Malkin and everyone else saying like he shot himself to get his medal.
Yeah. And so, John Amato from CrooksandLiars.com, as you size things up, the polls clearly show a surge for Obama. He's even pulling ahead in double digits in states like Pennsylvania. He's showing gains in West Virginia. He's pulling even and may surpass McCain in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
So the trend is certainly very encouraging. But I look at two critical issues here. And one is what I call the margin of graft, that we know with voter suppression tactics and electronic voting machines and the whole Ken Blackwell playbook, that the Republicans are gaming this election as much as they can. And so we've got to overcome that margin. And then there's the combination of the Bradley effect, which has been widely described, you know, that people will tell a pollster they'll vote for Obama, but they'll never actually do that. And I think that's compounded by the whole slime environment that is likely to get even more rabid after Wednesday night's final debate, because that's the last time McCain and Obama have to even be, you know, in the same square footage as one another. And I think from here, it really goes bonkers, because it will be a combination of trying to get free media coverage, which is stunts and gimmicks and guilt by association, and the negative advertising that will dominate the final 3 weeks of this campaign.
Yeah, the polls definitely have gone in Obama's favor. He is getting sizable leads, and I enjoy, like, have you been obviously following this whole Acorn story?
Oh, yeah.
What's so fascinating in a certain sense is that the conservative movement is now all, like, trying to say that we are, that the election is being stolen by voter fraud, by voter registration. I mean, they've already set all that in motion, and it's insane. When you look at, you know, it doesn't matter if somebody's registered 500 times. They can only vote once.
Yep.
But they're setting up this canard and trying to link Barack to it. And we know the purging of the rolls. There was just a big article in the New York Times where six states, I believe it was, where thousands and thousands of people were purged off the rolls.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Indiana voter ID law that I was a big, you know, outspoken on, that where they're making people show up with, you know, a form of identification that's approved by the state. And, I mean, as much as 10% of the population doesn't even have a driver's license. So it's not about, it's always about those purging of the rolls, and we know there's going to be a percentage towards that. So, yeah, I'm hoping that Obama has a 10-point lead going into the last week.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what I'm looking at. But, you know, until they vote, we shall see.
Yeah.
And I also think, you know, the Bradley effect, when was that done? In the early 80s, correct?
Mid-80s. Uh-huh.
Mid-80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that is going to be in play, but I also think, you know, our society has changed in those 24 years, let's say, 20-some-odd years, that there will be a Bradley effect. I don't think it will be quite as great, but it certainly will be there.
And well, I'll tell you this, John. I'm going to Detroit tomorrow. I was there earlier this year. I have relatives there. And a lot of them, well, first of all, they're all white. Secondly, a lot of them fled the inner city after the riots of 1968. And there is still a great deal of tension between blacks and whites in Detroit. It's been heightened by Kwame Kilpatrick, who spent a year in office after it was very clear that he was guilty of perjury. And so the racist feelings there are still very strong. And when I was there in June, my friends and relatives who will say, I'm a Democrat and I want to vote for the Democrat, but their code word was that Obama doesn't have enough experience. And when I pressed them on it, they would admit uncomfortably, yeah, you know, he's black. There's an Arabic word for it. It's abid. And that's the little code that they use when they're talking, you know, in their own community there. They say, well, you know, it's the abid factor. And so I think that it's more prevalent, and it's even perhaps more of a problem in northern industrial burned-out cities like Detroit and Chicago, then maybe even in a Bible Belt town like Birmingham, Alabama.
Well, I think that it definitely is there, and you know what also will be a big factor will be, you know, we've talked about it. And they talked about it in 2004 a lot, which was we'll just call it the youth vote, okay, the younger
mm-hmm.
voter,
yeah.
Because typically the young voter doesn't turn out, and and so when we're polled, it's usually, you know, mostly for the older voters. When I say older, I don't mean, you know, 70 or 80, but, you know, above the college level. And this will be an interesting election since Obama has really connected with a younger audience, and we will see if they will turn out and vote, because they can hopefully offset some of that Bradley effect. It's not going to be, you know, they're not going to offset it greatly, but if a few percent more actually do show up and vote, it will help. And he has. It's not like John Kerry. John Kerry really didn't, wasn't the type of figure that, you know, that inspired the youth of America, where Obama has done that at this point.
Yeah.
So, again, let's see if they show up to vote.
We're going to take a break and return. John Amato runs crooksandliars.com. It's crooksandliars.com. And when we return, I want to talk about that word liars, because a vice presidential candidate has been publicly caught in an obvious lie, and yet she keeps on going. Kind of like, you know, a bridge to nowhere. That's straight ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You can call in toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
With your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now in Castroville, on Castroville Boulevard, just north of Highway 156, there is a big rig blocking the right turn lane only. CHP is on the scene and they are moving the rig to a safe location. Taking a look at our forecast for the Monterey Bay area, tonight is clear with lows around 50. Other temperatures on the Central Coast are King City, 72 degrees. Monterey is 68 degrees. Salinas is currently 72 degrees. Watsonville is 77 degrees. And Santa Cruz is 77 degrees. Have a great afternoon and a great commute. Please stay tuned to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Quite continental.
Let me tell you about Chavez Jewelry Designs in Watsonville. Have you ever noticed how significant beautiful jewelry can be? A lovely diamond ring, special necklace, sparkling earrings, or a watch can be truly meaningful. When purchasing or repairing precious memories, having a friend in the jewelry business is critical. Chavez Jewelry Designs is your friend in the jewelry business. With Chavez Jewelry Designs, you will find the best products and repair service at the lowest prices. Stop by and check out Chavez Jewelry Designs, conveniently located at 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville's Crestview Shopping Center. Chavez Jewelry Designs is open weekdays 10 to 7. Call Chavez Jewelry Designs at 768-8004. That's 768-8004. A friend is waiting.
Sometimes things just make sense.
Sure, like buying a scooter when gas prices go crazy.
Or putting sharp business equipment in your office.
How does that make sense?
It makes sense to have the number one digital copier in America working for you, right?
Sure.
Well, that's how it makes sense.
I get it, but...
Here, try this.
Since 1981, this family-owned business has been about one thing, results, which is why Tri-County Business Systems is a Sharp dealer. Sharp is technology-driven, featuring OSA, open systems architecture. You can customize applications that promote efficient workflow. And because they're built to last, your total cost of ownership is reduced for long-term results. If you're a QuickBooks user, Sharp's OSA system allows you to quickly scan directly into your client's folder right from the machine. So call Tri-County Business Systems at 758-1474 and learn more today. Tri-County Business Systems, 758-1474. Solutions that connect with you. Tri-County Business Systems.
Kicking off the next hour on the Peter B. Collins Show, Melanie Sloan will join us, and fascinating chain of events. You remember 2 years ago, right about this time, a Republican congressman from Florida named Mark Foley was exposed for sending suggestive and sexually explicit text messages to congressional pages, many of whom are underage. And he resigned, went into rehab, was never prosecuted. But he was replaced by Democrat Tim Mahoney. Mahoney is now in similar trouble, although it doesn't involve an underage person, but a former staff member reportedly said that she received more than $100,000 in hush money after being the mistress of the congressman. Melanie Sloan will give us the details on that and the congressman's own call for an ethics investigation as we kick off the Free Speech Zone next hour. We continue with John Amato from crooksandliars.com. And John, I wanted to focus in on the second half of your title there, because it's a very sensitive term, liar. And we have clear evidence that Sarah Palin is lying about the Troopergate report that came out of the Alaska legislature late on Friday. And it says that she abused her power as governor of Alaska by trying to get her ex-brother-in-law fired and by having her aides and, in some cases, her husband and herself make inappropriate contacts with the chief of public safety there, a guy named Walt Monaghan. And yet she has gone public and has these carefully rehearsed lines that she delivers on camera that the investigation has cleared her and of any criminal wrongdoing. And it's simply not true. Now, to their credit, Keith Olbermann and Rachel Maddow on that corporate giant MSNBC on Monday night used the L word. But I read at least two papers every day and glance at a lot of stuff online.
What papers do you read, by the way?
The New York Times and the San Francisco Comical. And neither of them have, critically reported on this report from the legislature and contrasted it with the untruthful statements of the candidate.
You know, it is, when I came up with the term crooks and liars, It goes to the heart of what's wrong with certain politicians in power, where they just lie to your face. And they figure that we have this timid media that always has to, as you said, you've been reading some papers, you don't even see it mentioned, or if you do see it mentioned, then you get her statement that says I've been cleared, and they don't even give you the facts.
Yeah.
When we have a gutless, toothless media, she can actually go on the stump and say these things and not have to worry about being challenged about with a thing called the truth.
Well, they'll bring it up at the news conference if she ever has one.
Exactly. It's amazing. It's funny. I don't know if you noticed the fight with Bill Kristol in the McCain campaign.
Yeah.
Because it's actually comical that here's a guy that basically handpicks Sarah Palin,
mm-hmm.
and they will not let her speak, because what was so evident with the Katie Couric interview, of all people, was that she's incapable of having a conversation with a reporter that actually asks follow-up questions.
Right.
So they can't risk putting her on another show. I mean, she can go on Sean Hannity's show, but that's not really going on a show.
Mm-hmm.
And
you probably heard the clip when she went on Laura Ingraham's radio show last week and said that isn't it about time that people demand that Obama answer some questions? And there she is, safely in the bubble, demanding, yes, people have to make Barack Obama answer the questions. We've been asked everything.
Right.
We don't answer anything, but we've been asked everything.
Right, as she says to Katie Curry, I'll have to get back to you on that one.
All right, now on the screen it says Gary from Indiana is calling. Now, I've been to Gary, Indiana. Gary?
At the other end of the state.
Where are you, Gary?
In Corydon, down by Louisville.
Oh, near Louisville. Well, I grew up in Cincinnati. And I'll be, in fact, I'll be upriver from you this weekend, so watch out. We'll flush and the river level will rise.
I was a fan of the Big Red Machine in the 70s.
Yeah. What's up, Gary?
I wanted to talk with you. You was talking about the Bradley effect earlier.
Yeah.
And I have kind of looked at that, and when you actually look at polls, When the election actually happened, there was only a couple points difference. The media blew that way out of proportion. And, you know, I mean, you're looking at reputable polls, not the, you know, the crazy stuff that the media relied on.
Yeah, but the issue is the respondents, not the pollsters here. And let me just give you this example, because, Gary, I happen to meet Vance Hartke, the former senator and an outspoken critic of the Vietnam War who served two terms from Indiana. And I was talking with him after Joe Lieberman had been named the VP candidate back in the aughts. And he said, you know, in Indiana, I just think there are a lot of people who'd never vote for a Jewish guy. And he had the same comment about an African-American. And so I still believe it's a significant issue. And as I said to John, I think in some ways it's probably more problematic in some of the northern industrial cities that are still heavily segregated than in some southern cities where northerners project rampant racism. Your thoughts?
Well, yeah, you're probably right. I mean, there's people here that I mean, you know, that they will not vote for Barack Obama because he's white. But the question is, why would they tell a pollster on a telephone that they don't know, that he has no idea who they are,
mm-hmm.
that they wouldn't vote? I mean, that they would vote for him when they won't.
Well,
I mean,
because
it makes no sense.
Well,
saying, I will never vote for a black man.
Well, it's because they're closet racists.
On a telephone call, it makes no sense to me.
All right, Gary. Well, thank you for your comment. I'm run short of time here, but I appreciate you calling in all the way from Hoosierland. And John Amato, great to talk with you today. Thanks for your work. All right, crooksandliars.com. We'll return with Melanie Sloan and then take loads of your phone calls in the Free Speech Zone next hour on the Peter B. Collins Show.
$100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works. Does yours?
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Monday's trend didn't hold on Wall Street. The Dow started off with a 400-point gain this morning, but ended the session with a loss of 76 points. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus says this is to be expected.
Traditionally, when a stock market hits bottom, it is followed by a week or so of very, very choppy trading as the market tries to find its place. And a lot of people called last Friday at around 3:30 the bottom of this market. And so now we've got all of that volatility.
And the market's waiting to see if the government's rescue plan has the desired effect.
We are acting with unprecedented speed, taking unprecedented measures that we never thought would be necessary.
Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson says he finds it objectionable that the government will be buying stakes in private banks, but the alternative, he said, is totally unacceptable. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason is following developments.
My understanding is the Treasury is going to start investing in the banks within days. How fast that filters into the credit markets is not clear, but we're going to be watching the sort of key interbank lending rate, what's called LIBOR, to see whether that starts to come down. That will be a sign that money is beginning to move again between banks and that the credit markets are starting to unfreeze.
The price of crude oil came down below $79 a barrel today, and gasoline prices have been falling like a rock. The Energy Department says the national average has come down 33 cents in the past week to $3.15 a gallon. In the federal fiscal year just ended, a sea of red ink, CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports.
At nearly $455 billion, the federal deficit for the last 12 months is an all-time high. The financial crisis is a factor in the increase, and it's expected to affect the deficit for the current year even more. Some analysts forecast that the cost of the federal bailout of the financial markets will send the annual deficit soaring within range of $1 trillion.
We never give up. We never quit. We never hide from history. We make history. Now let's go win this election and get this country moving.
John McCain fired up supporters at a rally in Bluebell, Pennsylvania, but the latest CBS News New York Times poll finds him falling farther behind Barack Obama. Obama now enjoys a 14-point lead, 53% to 39%. After the market meltdown, our director of surveys, Kathleen Frankovic, says most Americans are looking for change.
In our poll, just 7% of Americans interviewed between Friday and Monday thought the country was now headed in the right direction. 89%, that's 9 in 10, say it's heading off on the wrong track.
California firefighters are giving it all they've got, and despite the Santa Ana wind, they've had some success against one wildfire in the San Fernando Valley, but another has doubled in size. The NASDAQ lost 65 points today, closing at 1779. This is CBS News.
Smart is as smart invests. That's why the smart money is now in CDs, and there's no smarter CD than the one from GMAC Bank. Now get a 12-month CD at a 4.35 annual percentage yield. That's positively one of the best rates available. Show off your CD smarts. Grow your money while protecting it from market fluctuations. Go to GMACBank.com or call 1-866-2-GM-BANK. Open a CD with as little as $500 and start reaping the benefits. GMAC Bank. Smart. Simple. Safe. Member FDIC.
I was talking to my doctor, and he asked me what medications I'm taking.
Taking notes next time. There is so much
information. Information is the key to good health. And with the Aetna online personal health record, test results, diagnoses, and new prescriptions are scanned and can alert you to potential conflicts, helping you and your doctor make better informed decisions.
Helping me better understand
my health.
Learn more about the personal health record at Aetna.com. We want you to know. Aetna.
The personal health record is offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company and should not be used as the sole source of information about the member's medical history.
A grand jury in Orlando has indicted the mother of a little girl who disappeared without a trace over the summer. CBS News correspondent Peter King reports.
The first-degree murder indictment and Casey Anthony's arrest come 4 months after 3-year-old Kaylee was last seen alive. Her mother didn't report her missing until a month after that. A grand jury heard testimony from investigators and from Casey's father, George.
I want everyone to have prayer for all of us today, especially for my granddaughter.
Recordings of Casey Anthony's police interviews have shown her to be inconsistent and evasive as investigators questioned her about her daughter's disappearance. Her attorney, Jose Baez.
Everyone shouldn't jump to conclusions and automatically conclude that a person's guilty until proven innocent.
Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
In Graham, Texas, Crystal Watson and Jack Smith have been sentenced to 7 years in prison because a neighbor child was fatally mauled by their pit bulls. When sheriff's deputies arrived, they were attacked. The dogs were destroyed. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your gas gauge.
Oh, my needle is asleep.
What's wrong, gas gauge?
For some reason, I haven't been moving.
Oh, well, that's probably because I got the Works Fuel Saver package at the dealership.
Oh.
Yeah, it's an oil change, tire rotation, and more, just $29.95 or less after a $10 mail-in rebate.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to stop for a sandwich. Do you want anything?
No, thanks. I'm full.
Oh, good one.
Taxes, diesel, and disposal fee extra. See your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership for rebate details through 11-30-08.
Have you heard? Walgreens has generics for less than $1 a week. That's less than $1 a week for a 90-day supply on over 400 generic medications when you sign up for Walgreens Prescription Savings Club. Plus, save on 5,000 other brand name and generic medications. See how much you could save and get $50 in coupons free just for asking about the club.
Program is not insurance. Membership fee required. Membership may be canceled within 30 days of issue date. See store for complete terms and conditions.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We're heading into the free speech zone. Your calls and comments, welcome to 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Right now, let's practice our Spanish.
La Rey, la Rey, la Noche. La diosa de vudú, yo no podré salvarme, podrás salvarte tú.
the Pedro B. Collins programa, Transmito en Vivo. At John McCain, he's living La Vida Loca, isn't he? 13 cars, 8 houses, Cindy's corporate jet. And he likes to play craps. Now, I don't hold that part against him, because I enjoy a game of craps every now and then. I've lost money in casinos from here to there playing craps. And I've never had to report my winnings from playing craps, because my winnings have never exceeded my losses. Melanie Sloan joins us from CREW, that Citizen for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Hi, Melanie.
Hi, Peter.
So, do you like to gamble at all?
Do not like to gamble. I was just in Las Vegas this weekend, and they have good restaurants, which I like to eat in, but I'm not interested in gambling. I'd rather buy a new sweater.
So not at all. You're not tempted by slots or keno or any of that? You just...
No, and you know why? Because the house always wins.
Well, yes, that's true. You're too rational. That's the problem.
That's exactly right.
So,
you know, John McCain doesn't share my view. But, of course, I am not married to someone with $100 million either.
So what's the extent of his gambling habit, and what are the issues when it comes to properly reporting what he does and what he wins?
Well, he gambles, apparently, approximately once a month. He likes to visit Las Vegas regularly, and craps is his game of choice.
Mm-hmm.
And the rules for disclosure in the Senate are very different than the IRS. Although you talked about with the IRS, if you lose more than you win, which most people do because, let's go back to rule one, the house always wins,
yeah.
You don't then have to, it nets out, and you don't have to disclose all that. If you are, in fact, a senator or a member of the House of Representatives, you have to report any winnings, because what you're reporting there is any source of income.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you win $5,000 at the Venetian on Saturday but lose $10,000 at the Bellagio on Sunday, you still have to report that $5,000 from the Venetian on your financial disclosure forms, even though, because you lost in total $5,000, you're not telling the IRS anything.
Right. And has John McCain followed through, or did he ask Ted Stevens for advice on how to fill out the forms?
You know, it seems like he asked Ted Stevens and former Representative Bob Ney, someone you and I used to talk about.
Yeah.
The Senate rules require you to disclose any source of income, and right in the Senate Ethics Manual, it says particularly, gives us examples, if you win in, say, the lottery, or you win money on a game show like Jeopardy, you have to disclose that. But Senator McCain has never disclosed any winnings on his financial disclosure forms. And he'd have to be pretty much the most unlucky man on earth to never have won, given that he gambles about once a month. And in fact, there was a New York Times article in September that talked about Mr. McCain's gambling, and it talked about him winning literally thousands of dollars at the Foxwoods Resort in Connecticut in 2000. And we looked at his 2000 financial disclosures, and there was no report of any income from Foxwoods.
Hmm.
And I also want to just contrast that with other members of Congress. For example, Minority Leader John Boehner has won in a casino, and he reported it. And Senator Judd Gregg, a senator from New Hampshire, won the Powerball, and he reported it. It's only John McCain who seems to feel it somehow, even though he is, you know, tells us all he's more ethical than everybody else. He's the only guy who's not reporting gaming winnings on his forms.
Well, but they just didn't have the right forms on the Straight Talk Express.
I guess that's it, but the fact of the matter is, on these forms, it says right on them that it is a federal crime not to make a false statement on your form and to not include this information. And as I said, in the Senate Ethics Manual, it tells you flat out you got to include gaming winnings. So Mr. McCain has no real explanation. Last week, after we filed a complaint with the Senate Ethics Committee asking them to look at this, he said he didn't have to report them, and he didn't give any explanation about why he didn't have to report those winnings, even though the Senate rules clearly say that he does, which is why I believe the Senate Ethics Committee is going to have to look at this and, frankly, refer it over to the Department of Justice for investigation into whether Mr. McCain has deliberately withheld information regarding his gaming winnings.
Now, isn't there an exclusion in the law for mavericks and reformers and neo-regulators?
Yeah, in fact, Mr. McCain wishes there were, but no such exclusion. And let me just remind your listeners who we've talked about, Bob Ney. He's a former member of Congress from Ohio who went to jail in the Jack Abramoff scandal in in part, is Mr. McCain, who talks about all of Mr. Ney's wrongdoing. But Mr. Ney eventually pleaded guilty to lying on his financial disclosure forms about his gaming winnings. He had not stated the he had understated the amount and misstated the source. So here it is. That was a problem for him. He pleaded guilty to it. Ted Stevens on trial for not including gifts on his financial disclosure forms, but yet somehow Mr. McCain is different for not including gaming winnings on his.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Now, we don't have any evidence that John McCain ever played poker over at the Watergate with Porter Goss and Buzz. Who was the Buzzy, the CIA guy?
Oh, no, that was Dusty Fogo.
Dusty Fogo, yeah.
An even better name than Buzz, I think.
But we can't link him to any of those parties.
No, sadly, no, we cannot. Mm-hmm. We can link him, though, to the gambling tables in Las Vegas once a month, which I'm sure for the evangelical voters, Mr. McCain is currently courting so heavily with Sarah Palin, probably not great news for them.
Well, it's how he got Bill Bennett's endorsement.
Right. You know, perhaps why Mr. McCain did not include all his gaming winnings on his financial disclosure forms. Had he been including those, everybody would have known for many, many years that he was an avid gambler, which would not have been a great fact for him.
Yeah. Melanie Sloan's with us from CREW. That's Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Their website, chock full of information, citizensforethics.org. Now, this is kind of bizarre. Maybe that Florida congressional seat is somehow jinxed or causes a kind of sexual urge that arises in the member. But Mark Foley, who resigned in disgrace 2 years ago because he was text messaging underage pages with explicit and suggestive commentary, he was replaced by a Democrat named Tim Mahoney. And now Tim Mahoney's in sexual hot water, and at least the good news is it's not with somebody underage. But the allegation is that a former staffer became his mistress, and he paid her as much as $121,000 to keep that in her pillow.
Yeah, in fact, this is way worse than even that. I mean, it's not as bad as Mark Foley. It's really hard to be worse than underage boys. But what Tim Mahoney did was he met a woman while he was on the campaign trail. And while he was on the campaign trail, by the way, he was saying that he was the most moral guy for the job. And he would restore morality and ethics to this position in Congress.
Hmm.
So while he does that, he meets this woman, Patricia Allen, and starts having an affair with her. So he's having an affair while he's a candidate talking about morality, always a plus. And then once he gets the job and he wins, he puts her on the congressional payroll and continues having an affair. Well, then people are unhappy about that, think that's a problem, hard to imagine why. Hmm. So he moves her over to the campaign payroll. And then she finds out, lo and behold, he's not having an affair with just her. He's having an affair with several people. And she says, I want to end the affair. And he says, well, you end the affair, I'm going to fire you. And then, in fact, he fires her. And not surprisingly, she says she's going to sue him for sexual harassment, and he then agrees to pay her $121,000. Really, he got off pretty cheap, in my book.
And here's a quote in the New York Times. He should have chosen his words better here. You work at my pleasure, Mr. Mahoney allegedly told Ms. Allen in a January 20 telephone call that was recorded and played for Mr. Mahoney's employees. If you do the job I think you should do, you get to keep your job. Whenever I don't feel like you're doing your job, then you lose your job. And guess what? The only person that matters is, guess who? Me. Now, for him to say, you work at my pleasure, isn't that a very poor choice of words there?
It is a poor choice of words, but again, let's just keep in mind that he's a member of Congress, and their level of arrogance and narcissism is really hard to beat.
Mm-hmm.
But in any event, the real problem for Mr. Mahoney here, besides that there's an election in 3 weeks and this is now coming out, is that he has violated so many House rules, it's hard to know, you know, where to start. So first, sexual harassment is, in fact, a civil problem, but it also is a violation of House rules. Then firing a woman who will no longer have an affair with you, that also would be a violation of House rules. Then having put the woman on staff in the first place, putting her on the congressional payroll just so that she can be your mistress, that's another violation of House rules. People who are paid with taxpayer dollars are supposed to be doing taxpayer work and not personal services. Having an affair with a member of Congress really constitutes personal services. So that's another violation of House rules. And all of this definitely constitutes conduct that does not reflect credibly on the House. So I think Mr. Mahoney has a pretty serious problem here, and that's why all the Democrats are throwing him under the bus.
And he himself has called for an ethics investigation, and the Speaker apparently has chimed in and said that's a really good idea.
Well, sure, because nobody ever has anything nothing to worry about from the House Ethics Committee. I mean, that's like saying, you know, why doesn't the puppy look at my work?
Right. Judge Judy would be tougher.
I dare anyone to remind me the last time the House Ethics Committee took a strong stance against anybody. I mean, certainly members of Congress who've committed crimes, like William Jefferson, are still sitting there. Members of Congress involved in the Jack Abramoff scandal, like John Doolittle, still sitting there. They never did anything against Duke Cunningham, who went to jail for 8 years for bribery. They never did anything about that. So who's really going to think the House Ethics Committee is going to do something about a little itty-bitty affair?
Well, when you put it that way... A very powerful summation there, Counselor. Thank you very much, Melanie.
All right. Talk to you next
week,
Peter.
Talk to you next week. That's Melanie Sloan at CREW. Again, the website, citizensforethics.org. We take a break and return to your phone calls. All my lines are open, and it's the free speech zone. You can comment on any subject, offer any viewpoint, and call me from anywhere within the sound of my voice. 888-5-PETER-B. It's toll-free, 888-573-8372. And if you don't feel like chatting, send me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hey, are you driving around looking for a coffee shop with free internet? Right here in Pacific Grove, you'll find Black Forest Espresso, a fun and friendly place to hang out. We have a large espresso bar ready to make any gourmet drink, homemade wraps, mochas, lattes. How about 100% fruit smoothies and old-fashioned milkshakes with 14 flavors? Black Forest is also the only place to get soft-serve, fat-free frozen yogurt. We're the last hometown coffee shop at the Country Club Gate Shopping Center at Forest and David next to Save Mart Pacific Grove. Check out blackforestespresso.com.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Currently in Santa Cruz on Layla Court at Capitola Road, there is a skate ramp in the lane. Also in Santa Cruz, we have a traffic hazard on Capitola Avenue at northbound Highway 1. CHP is currently on the scene. We are looking at an absolutely beautiful afternoon in the Monterey Bay Central Coast area. Tonight is clear with lows around 50, south winds 5 to 10 miles per hour becoming northeast after midnight. Here are the temperatures for the Central Coast. King City, 72 degrees. Monterey is 68 degrees. Salinas, 72 degrees. Watsonville, 77 degrees. Santa Cruz, 77 degrees. Have a great afternoon and a great commute, and stay tuned to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Collins Show. That's Sarah Palin over there with her pants on fire. So here's the situation. We talked about this with John Amato about half an hour ago. There was a report that issued out of Alaska late last Friday that clearly stated that Governor Palin abused her power in trying to get her ex-brother-in-law fired. It's all pretty clear. But Sarah Palin is saying that the same report exonerates her, which it does not. It does say narrowly that she was allowed to fire the public safety chief, Walt Monaghan, although she's given conflicting reasons for that termination. And in fact, she offered him another job and then said that, he was insubordinate and he did things without her permission. So my question to you here in the Free Speech Zone today is, what do we do about this? Because I think that this is a significant disqualification for Sarah Palin. They told us that it was her executive experience, 20 months as governor of Alaska, the least populated state in the country, and that is the record that establishes her fitness to serve as the quote-unquote heartbeat away from the president, and this guy's got a faulty heartbeat. So I think this is a critical issue, and for the most part, the corporate media is laying down, accepting her spin, unwilling to confront her and say, look, this is the report. You cannot tell us that it says something else. That is a lie, Governor. So I want to hear your thoughts about this. How do we corner her? How do we get the media to get some backbone, cojones, whatever phrase you'd like to use, to take this issue on? In the one and only vice presidential debate, Gwen Ifill didn't bring up anything about Palin's tenure as governor and her lack of experience, her lack of foreign policy knowledge. Nope. She let it all escape. We go to Peggy in Monterey. Thanks for calling, Peggy, and I know you called earlier. Glad to get you on the air.
Yeah, I had called Congressman Farr's office when I heard about this battalion being put in country,
right.
And their understanding was, the fellow I talked to there, who's the defense person or the military matters person, was that they were bringing these folks in country for training for Iraq. But
well,
this way they would be back home, but they were actually training for Iraq. That's all I was told by him, and that's what I think the Defense Department told them.
Okay.
So I'm curious about this.
The basis for the story that Naomi Wolf and I have been talking about, Scott Dick talked with us about it on the program a couple of weeks back, is the Army Times.
Right.
And in that, it was a rather lengthy article. I don't have it in front of me, but I read it about 2 weeks ago. And what it said was that they were being trained with some new high-tech non-lethal weapons, and that they were being prepared for deployment in the United States during this next year. And then they are scheduled to be redeployed either to Iraq or Afghanistan after that. So, my take on that, number one, is I think about the troops. All right, they're supposed to be home resting, retraining, and reconnecting with their families.
Right.
But they're subject to deployment in the event of a natural disaster or some national emergency.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that it's very important to acknowledge what's going on here without trying to create hysteria or, you know, drive any further fear.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we need to be honest about what the potential is here and recognize the incredible power grabs that have already occurred under this presidency.
Of course. And I wonder, what was it you and Naomi were talking about regarding the president's army? Is that because of all of his signing statements, so he really isn't held by anything? That
right, and it's because this gets really in the legal weeds, and frankly beyond my legal training, which is almost non-existent. But there was a clause in a bill that essentially invalidated the Posse Comitatus Act.
Right.
Then it was revived by Democrats who inserted it in a defense authorization bill.
Mm-hmm.
And when the president signed that bill, he issued a signing statement. And so the status of Posse Comitatus is confusing at
mm-hmm.
this point. But the argument that Naomi Wolf was making based on an interview with a General Antoon, you might search the web for that, is that these people report to the president because, you know, historically the military was not permitted to be deployed in this country. And therefore, the Pentagon chain of command doesn't recognize.
And that's what Farr's office said, was that's unconstitutional.
I believe it is.
Have them active in this in country. So
I believe it is, too, but I don't put it past Bush
yeah.
to say, well, we'll work that out after the crisis.
Do you have a date on the article at Army Times?
Any
chance or not?
Let me think. Nick, did we put that up on the website? I'll tell you what, Peggy, stay tuned here in the next 10 minutes, and I'll either find the citation online or we'll put it up at the peterbcollins.com website, okay?
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you for your call today. We're going to take a break and return to more of your phone calls. The Free Speech Zone wide open for you at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
I'm Glenn Sadowski, a licensed acupuncturist at Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey. Did you know that over one-third of all Americans have tried alternative medicine for relief from chronic pain, asthma, allergies, headache, and many other disorders? That acupuncture is safe and effective and has been used for thousands of years? Or that traditional Chinese medicine treats not only your symptoms, but the underlying causes of disease in your body? I offer acupuncture, Chinese medical massage, and have a full Chinese herbal pharmacy, and I accept insurance. Call me, Glenn Sadowski, at 655-3208. Reclaim yourself at Optimal Health, where clients take a proactive role in their well-being, create healthy lifestyles, and make informed decisions regarding their wellness. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture today at 655-3208 and on the web at optimalhealthmonterey.com. Mention KRXA to receive a 25% discount. Think for yourself and think for your health.
I'm Kevin McGibbon, and I'm running for Cabrillo College Trustee. Cabrillo College is a great part of our Mid-County community. It's a launching pad for university education, and Cabrillo offers needed trade education to support local business, all the while giving its students a chance to afford our cost of living. Over time, as our local economic base grows and changes, Cabrillo becomes that much more important to prepare students for the job market, as well as to local businesses that need new talent. I, Kevin McGibbon, pledge to push Cabrillo's establishment as an innovation center, as a way to source new revenue, attract students, new business, and to take advantage of new facilities that taxpayers have so graciously funded for so long. I'll provide leadership to expand access to a Cabrillo education to underserved students in Santa Cruz County. And I'll challenge Cabrillo to be the first carbon-neutral community college in California. Embracing a green approach will cut costs, generate opportunities for educational programs, and uncover new revenue sources. Let's make Cabrillo even better. Vote for me, Kevin McGibbon, for Cabrillo Trustee.
Okay, it's star time. Set the sonic transducer on program 8!
Program 8! Secure all levels at zero!
Zero! My feet! I can't move my feet!
It's as if we're glued to the spot!
You are, so quake with fear, you tiny fools!
The Paper Wing Theater Company proudly presents the Rocky Horror Show, playing October 29th through November 1st in New Monterey at 320 Hoffman Avenue. Don't miss the final presentation of the rock and roll audience participation favorite, playing for six shows only with special Halloween and Saturday midnight shows. Come in costume and bring your friends. Call 675-0521 for tickets and info. That's 675-0521. Tickets are going fast, so don't miss this award-winning presentation of the Rocky Horror Show. Call 675-0521 now.
You better believe it, baby.
Get Rocky Horror tickets now by calling 675-0521.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
This portion of the Peter B. Collins Show brought to you by some great listeners of the Peter B. Collins Show. Hank Jerger, Davis, California. Patricia Dahlhoff, Crescent City, California. Russ Archibald on one of those exotic islands in Hawaii. Thank you for your support.
I saw a face in the shower door. Cowboy smile came and faded. I reached for my towel on the floor. I didn't think it was exactly where I laid it. You don't scare me, you don't scare me, I said. Whatever it was floating in the air above my bed, he knew I'd understand.
He was the ghost of a Texas ladies' man.
Got one line open, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And there's a listener I'd like to hear from today. And Adrian, I'm not trying to call you out for a duel or an argument or something like that. But Adrian, I believe in Salinas, has been emailing me repeatedly over the last few days with information about the Acorn scandal. And I want you to know, Adrian, that you're being led astray. You're reading the Wall Street Journal and some right-wing talking points. The Acorn scandal is a smokescreen. They're trying to demonize African Americans who've been registering voters by hanging them on information that they have provided by law. It's this simple. When you run a voter registration drive, and you're not a government agency, you are required by election boards to turn in all forms that have been filled out under your management. And Acorn does that. And when they find a form that's not been properly filled out or that has inaccurate information or somehow is invalid, they flag it. And what's been happening is the media organizations and some unfriendly election boards have been seizing on the information that Acorn itself turns in and trying to use that as evidence against them, that there's widespread fraud in Acorn's registering process. A week ago, the New York Post found a 19-year-old kid in Cleveland who said they gave him cigarettes and $20, and he registered 72 or 73 times. So what? You can register a zillion times under the same name, but you only get to vote once. And when you look at a picture of this 19-year-old kid, we're supposed to assume that he's got a list of all the aliases that he registered under, and he's going to go to different precincts and vote under those names. It is a smokescreen intended to draw your attention and focus on Democrats at a time when Republicans are engaged in all kinds of election rigging. Some of it's even marginally legal. And so, Adrian, if you're listening, I invite you to call. I want to talk with you. I'd like to explain the reality of the Acorn story and not the spin that you've been forwarding to me by email. 888-5-PETER-B is our number. We go to John in Brookings, Oregon next. Hello, John.
Hi, Peter B.
Welcome.
Hey, I live in a community where many, many good people believe fair and balanced is fair and balanced. And they're writing letters to the editor, you know, with this Bill Ayers, I believe his name is Bill Ayers.
That's right.
Connection.
Mm-hmm.
And calling, you know, Obama a terrorist sympathizer or a terrorist himself. And,
right.
And I just need your help. What can I say in a letter to the editor? What do I say to my neighbors that isn't inflammatory but is factual? What's a good response?
Well, these things are difficult because it's a smear. It's a McCarthy tactic, all right? Number one, we know that when Bill Ayers was a member of the Weather Underground, Barack Obama was 7 or 8 years old and was living in Hawaii.
I know that.
He was not in Chicago for the Days of Rage. He didn't have anything to do with that. So he met Bill Ayers in 1998, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Ayers held a fundraiser, gave him $200 when he was running for the Illinois State Senate. Now, what John McCain did for Charlie Keating and the amount of money that he took in campaign contributions from a guy who was stealing from little old ladies and the scale of the savings and loan ripoff and the subsequent bailout of the 1980s pales in comparison. And McCain was directly involved in that. We're not smearing him by saying he knew Charlie Keating and, you know, Charlie went to jail. We're talking about what Keating did.
Right.
I'm sorry, what McCain did.
Right, right.
And so you can't necessarily get through to these people because they're not willing to think critically about their candidate. They are looking for any available evidence to diminish the stature of Barack Obama.
Right.
And the other thing you need to know is just how open Sean Hannity is about promoting this whole story. The Air story and the Reverend Wright stories.
Yeah, that's where it came from, was Sean Hannity.
Yeah, Hannity proudly declares his paternity of this crap.
Yeah.
And he's been driving it. You go back to the debate in late April or early May, and Hannity invited George Stephanopoulos on his radio show. Stephanopoulos was one of the moderators of the ABC debate between Clinton and Obama. And that morning, okay, Tuesday morning, the debate's Tuesday night, there's a recording of Sean Hannity telling George Stephanopoulos that he needs to ask about Bill Ayers. And Stephanopoulos says, I'm taking notes. And sure enough, that night, prompted by Sean Hannity, George Stephanopoulos asked the question. And it certainly benefited his former employers, the Clintons. Now, I'll stipulate that Stephanopoulos, you know, is independent now, and I don't assume that he was necessarily pulling punches just for Hillary there, but he was carrying water for Sean Hannity. And so Hannity's, this, you know, in the same breath, one night I was watching Hannity, and he was linking his pride for the swift boating of John Kerry with the Jeremiah Wright and Bill Ayers stories of 2008. So I know I didn't give you a simple answer because it's very hard to persuade these people. The best I can say is that you use humor and
yeah.
Say, yeah, he was palling around with him at the age of 8. Ayers must have taken a vacation in Hawaii and met him on the beach.
Okay.
John, thank you very much. Now to Patrick in Monterey. Thanks for your call, Patrick.
Greetings once again from May Brussel country. Peter, thank you. Oh, no, I was about to commit the mortal sin on the Peter B. Collins show. I'm sorry.
Yes, it is. Don't thank Mr. Collins for taking your call.
Oh, my God. I think it's the Heart Project.
Yeah.
I swear to God, Peter. They're like, I never thank anyone. I mean, going back to talking to Ray Taliaferro, I never thanked anyone
uh-huh.
for taking the call. They're manipulating our minds, Peter.
Yes, they are.
Now, there's a couple main points I wanted to talk about that basically relate to, you know, Brad Friedman and Brad Blog and also the McCain medical records. But
mm-hmm.
when I say greetings from May Brussel country, I seriously want a conference call with Spielberg, Oliver Stone, and Michael Moore, and I want you to put that through for me, Peter, because I know you have a lot of pull in the media.
Yeah.
For the documentary, the real documentary on May Brussel, this woman While she's raking Nixon over the coals on her radio show in the Monterey Peninsula, her father, Rabbi Magnin, rabbi to the stars, is having Nixon over at his house in Bel Air for dinner.
I didn't know that.
I mean, this is an Oliver Stone movie with Spielberg and Michael Moore overtones all over it. We could probably be in cameos.
Uh-huh.
You know? And Butcher and Ben from Salinas. We could have cameos in this thing. But my main point is, I think the things that we should be hammering on right now is, okay, there are 34 states in this country that have early voting. I voted about 4 or 5 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone in California should have voted by now. We can do this. And this is a thing that I think the Democratic and the Independent and the Green Party phone lines need to get out to all the constituents, especially in the battleground states, is like, hey, if you're in a battleground state that you can vote early, go. I mean, follow, and we need to not only follow Greg Palaston and Robert Kennedy's program, but, I mean, we need to turn them onto the website so that people can get multiple copies of the comic book, you know, what to mm-hmm. do if you've been stolen from your vote. Your
right.
vote has been stolen, pardon me.
Yeah.
And I guess that's basically it, you know.
Well, Palace does great work, and I'm pleased that the New York Times, they didn't credit Greg, but they published his story last week. And so a mainstream audience is aware of the purging of voter rolls that is occurring across the country. Michigan is now in the sights, and a court yesterday ordered an end to the purging of voters from the rolls. So we're starting to get some awareness, but there are only 3 weeks left. And as you point out, many people have already voted. And
well, there's one thing I would like to bring back the whole theme, I think, of Mae Brussels's work, and that's, you know, that fascism didn't die in World War II. First of all, since you had the Fords and the Lindberghs and the Bush family and the Dulles family and Brown Brothers Root and Harriman, and these people were already supporting fascism and genocide and eugenics and the whole Nazi philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And after World War II collapsed, these people came back to us through Project Paperclip, and they infiltrated our military and our not just the NASA space program, the person that the Donald Sutherland character in JFK was based on, Colonel L. Fletcher Prouty, said the mm-hmm. average American would be shocked if they were knowledgeable about the registries of the American Psychological and Psychiatric Associations from the years 54 to 57. They were riddled with ex-Nazis and ex-European Nazis.
I thought they all went to South America. Well, Patrick, thank you very much. Always great to hear from you. I appreciate it, and thank you for calling the program. Now we go to Motown. Russell's on the line from Royal Oak, Michigan. Hi, Russell.
Hi. I'm calling. I need a job, dude.
Yeah? Well,
no.
You coming to California to work?
No, you people are crazy out there. Except, well, I don't really mean that.
Yeah, I know. That's a stereotype.
Yeah. So I do like avocados.
Well,
no, I'm calling about Sarah.
Sarah Palin, yeah.
I know that she's free of all guilt from everything she's ever done. But I heard on an Air America program tonight that there might be a new investigation starting when she was mayor in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
She might have gotten some home improvements from the Vecco company, the same one that Senator Stevens patronizes.
A little more complicated than that, but you're on the right track here. The story goes that her big accomplishment as mayor of Wasilla was putting the city deeply in debt to build a large sports center, I guess with an indoor hockey rink. And the very contractors who built that facility, who seemed a little underqualified for the scope of that job, also built Sarah and Todd's dream home. Mm. And there's no direct connection so far to Vico and Bill Allen. But some of the same construction workers and the same company that sold the materials for the free improvements to Ted Stevens' house also sold materials to the contractors who built the rec center and the Palin home in Wasilla. So this is a developing story. On the face of it, it looks like there's more than one elected official from Alaska who's gotten illegal free remodeling or home construction.
And it just further begs the question as to why the corporate media in this country is not drilling in on Sarah Palin's past and on the report that was issued on Friday on her lying denial of the contents of that report. And now this story about what appears to be improper donation of a home or part of it through the grease, the juice that she created as mayor of Wasilla. So it's something we're going to be watching, and certainly as this story builds steam, we'll get some experts on to comment on it.
Okay, I had heard that as soon as she became mayor, she changed some laws so that building permits weren't required, and it makes it harder to track all this town.
I read that as well. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Russell, thanks for the call, and thanks for being my advance man there in Motown. I'll be there tomorrow.
Okay, thanks.
All right. I'm hitting the road. I'll be in Detroit tomorrow and Thursday. I'll be off on Friday. Stephanie Hendricks will be sitting in for me as I head to Cincinnati for my mother's 85th birthday celebration. We'll take more of your calls in the Free Speech Zone. If you're on the line, stay right there. We'll be with you in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Currently in Santa Cruz on Layla Court at Capitola Road, there is a skate ramp in the lane. Also in Santa Cruz, we have a traffic hazard on Capitola Avenue at northbound Highway 1. CHP is currently on the scene. We are looking at an absolutely beautiful afternoon in the Monterey Bay Central Coast area. Tonight is clear with lows around 50. South winds 5 to 10 miles per hour, becoming northeast after midnight. Here are the temperatures for the Central Coast. King City, 72 degrees. Monterey is 68 degrees. Salinas, 72 degrees. Watsonville, 77 degrees. Santa Cruz, 77 degrees. Have a great afternoon and a great commute, and stay tuned to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
One specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Hello, Marina voters. I'm Bruce Delgado, and I'm asking for your vote to be your next mayor of Marina. I was on city council from 2000 to 2004, and when I ran for mayor in 2004, I barely lost by 69 votes. With your support, we can win this time and finally have a mayor that lives and breathes working class values. My opponent goes on cruises with developers and big business interests who have financial involvement with large four-door developments, and this is too cozy to ensure citizens like you that your priorities come first during city negotiations with big business. Good-paying jobs, affordable housing, and downtown revitalization will help working-class families and seniors on fixed incomes. This is why labor unions are endorsing me and why Jane Parker, supervisor-elect for the 4th District, supports me and Marina's campaign for change. I ask for your vote by mail or on November 4th. Let's do this together. Thank you. I'm Bruce Delgado, and I approve this message.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Peggy in Monterey. Peggy in Monterey, if you're still listening. We do have a link to the Army Times story you were asking about. If you go to the PeterBCollins.com website and then click on the link to our archives, Go to September 25th. That's a Thursday, hour 2, and that's where the link is for the Army Times. More of your phone calls now in the Free Speed Zone. Annie in McKinleyville listening on KGOE. Hi, Annie.
Hi, Peter B. Well, I'd like to make a comment about the brigade of the Army deployed to Northern Command.
Uh-huh.
And I was having a conversation with my daughter about this. She's a former Marine sergeant, and she said pretty unequivocally, she said, I can speak for myself and I think for my unit, we'd die first before we would turn arms on our own citizens. And I think we need to remember that these young people are true patriots, and they know that this is illegal. And they, I truly believe that they would stand down.
Well, I want to believe that. I also want to believe that their leaders would refuse to carry out an illegal order.
Exactly.
But one of the points Naomi Wolf made is that in this bizarre Orwellian world we now inhabit, that they changed the law. And, you know, apparently by presidential decree, this is Executive Order 51, and the vague situation regarding posse comitatus, it appears that, and this is where Naomi Klein interviewed this General Antoon, who said that under the current rules, and because, of course, it's an aberration to have troops deployed inside our country, you know, the argument is that they are required to execute these orders, presumptive orders from the president. And like you, I tend to believe that American troops would not fire on American citizens. But it's a test that I don't want to see us go through.
Well, absolutely. And I just think that, you know, if we can just remember that we still do have some power here, and that our young people truly are looking out for the best interests of our country, even though maybe we don't particularly like the mission that they've been sent on.
Indeed, sure.
But they're honorable,
oh,
and
yes.
They don't particularly care for the mission either. Mm-hmm. I attended a Marine Corps ball several years back ago with my daughter and had an opportunity to meet a lot of these Marines all the way from commanders on down. And I can tell you that they weren't very enamored with the mission.
Mm-hmm.
And I was quite surprised.
But
you
still,
know? I
Annie,
mean, we tend to think of the military folk as being quite conservative and maybe all Republicans.
Now, Annie, I agree with you. Many of them don't support the mission, but most of them carried out every order they were given.
Yes, absolutely. I think short of this one.
Yeah.
So thanks, Peter.
All right. Appreciate your call. Always good to hear from you. And now to Steve and Salinas listening on KRXA. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Peter. Listen, you know, this issue about Barack being a terrorist, if you consider that the President of the Senate, Richard B. Cheney, was conducting U.S. Air Force training exercises that mirrored very closely exactly what happened on 9/11, you could construe that both McCain and Obama are associated with someone who's the president of a organization in which he may have been the terrorist in residence.
Well, Steve, that's a legitimate comment. I have no dismissal of it, but I take a different approach here. I'm offended that Republicans would use the term terrorist on a political candidate from the other party. And this shows how politicized the so-called war on terror is, and how the whole gambit offered by Republicans is a string of fear-mongering episodes.
Well, Peter, what I'm trying to point out is that it's a straw man. The war on terror was concocted by the PNAC people, the neocons, and we have an abundance of facts and evidence that clearly prove that an investigation is needed, that people within our own government conspired to pull off this attack for their own purposes.
Well, I agree with you that the investigation is needed, and I refrain from calling it an inside job or speculating further. What I know is that the official story, you know, endorsed by the 9/11 Commission is not true, and it does not hold up to close examination.
It cannot be true, Peter.
I don't know what the true story is. I don't know exactly what happened and how it was pulled off, but I know that the official story is a myth.
It's other than what we've been told, and that's for sure.
Thank you, Steve. Now to Robert in, it looks like, Santa Clara or Santa Cruz?
Well, it's Steve in Salinas, too.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just called Robert,
okay.
Steve.
Don't call Robert. Call Steve.
All right, Steve, you're up.
This is what I want to say, is this ACORN situation with Obama could be completely propaganda.
It is.
You could get people that could take a dive. You could have a Republican employees going in and working for ACORN and going out and making these goofy phony voter registration deals, such as the Mickey Mouse and multiple, you know, like they do the same guy 50 times.
Right, yeah. It is a smokescreen. I firmly believe that, and I think it's being propelled in a timely manner for Republican benefit. Thank you, sir. And I'm sorry I mixed up those last two callers. Robert and Steve, you have my humble apology. I'll be live from Detroit tomorrow. If it all works out, I'll talk to you then. Thanks for listening to this edition of the PBC Show.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works. Does yours?
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. 3 weeks before the election, Barack Obama is way ahead in the latest CBS News New York Times poll. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive takes a look.
2 weeks ago, a 9-point lead for Obama. Then last week, only a 3-point lead. Now that's widened again to 14 points.
53% for Obama, 39% for McCain.
Kathleen Frankovic, director of surveys here at CBS News, with the New York Times, finding almost 9 out of 10 Americans think our country is on the wrong track, and that's helping Obama. The poll has a margin of error of up to 3 points. Dan Revive, CBS News.
McCain got an enthusiastic reception at a rally in Bluebell, Pennsylvania today. He outlined a new economic proposal.
Instead of just propping up institutions deemed too big to fail in this crisis, we will use more of this public money to help businesses and homeowners that may be too small to survive.
He wants to eliminate taxes on unemployment benefits and cut the capital gains tax in half for 2 years.
Thank you so much for being here. It really is nice of you. Thank you.
Barack Obama campaigned in Toledo, where he endorsed the government's plan to goose the credit system by purchasing stock in major banks.
I think the idea of injecting capital directly into banks is a good one. It gives taxpayers a better chance of getting their money out.
Some investors took their money out of the stock market today. The Dow lost 76 points after yesterday's huge gain. CBS News reporter Ginny Cassola talked to Wall Street veteran who says investors are skeptical about the market's recovery.
We are returning to a fear that maybe this one won't hold either.
Trader Art Cashin of UBS says the concern is that global interest rates are not showing much improvement.
You would think if they came in with a magic wand and a magic bullet and said, listen, we're going to make sure nobody fails and we're going to make sure that all these loans are guaranteed by the governments of the world, you would have thought that psychology would change in the credit markets far more readily than it has so far today.
Cashin says after the turmoil of recent weeks, people don't have the courage to get back into stocks. Ginny Cassola, CBS News at the New York Stock Exchange.
California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger calls it a perfect storm, hot, dry, and windy. One of the wild